whatever happens in Iran at this point could easily be teed up for a false flag. Just somebody in a building shoots into a crowd, and there's Trump and Netanyahu, and we've got the aircraft carriers, you know, strike groups going in.
Al Arabia writes, already the regime has made numerous threats should its nuclear facilities come under attack from either Israel or the West. Compiled from information leaked from an Iranian military source pointed to how Iran had put together a secret plan to retaliate after such an attack, which was codenamed Qiyama, or Judgment Day. The IRGC would immediately respond through missile attacks on the U.S. coalition's Arab and Muslim allies in the Gulf region, hitting military bases occupied by the U.S. coalition, as well as a series of suicide operations targeting U.S. and British interests in the area. But hasn't this playbook been in motion all along? And who would ultimately benefit from a war with Iran? Iran's crude oil and central bank are holdouts when it comes to globalism's grip, and they would be instrumental in starting World War III, which would fatten the New World Order's pocket and put an end to the global populism threatening New World Order domination.
Bibi has repeatedly been under indictment, issues of corruptions, issues of dysfunction. Even Mossad head leaders in the past five, Mossad leaders say this is not the way to approach the Middle East or Iran or the Palestinians. And Bibi has ignored all that. And basically, he's kowtowed to Trump, and he has tried to manipulate his way into Trump's good graces so that we would in some way end up fighting their war.
Iran is like five times bigger than Iraq and 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. The Houthis, with drones and you know, truck-launched small missiles, were able to drive our Navy out of the Red Sea. They drove us out of the Red Sea because the modern math doesn't work for our type of warfare. They'd fire a $100,000 missile or a couple of them at a ship, and we would have to spend $5 or $10 million worth of extremely high-tech surface defense missiles to try to stop these $100,000 drones. And our destroyers don't carry an unlimited number of these. A couple dozen and they're out. They have to leave the area, return to a port that's not nearby because they can't be launched at sea. They can only, or reloaded at sea. They can only be reloaded dockside. So the math just doesn't work for American power projection the way that it used to. So if we get sucked into quote unquote rescuing Iranians, what does that mean? We're gonna drop Delta Force and SEALs into Tehran because, we think that some people have been mistreated.
We know there's a big political, you know, changes happening. What is all this massive movement really about?
I do agree with exerting our influence in our hemisphere because the unipolar moment that began in the 90s with the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War.
Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has been removed from power, and there are tanks now in the streets of Moscow. Vice President Gennady Yanayev says he has taken over as acting president, as the head of state of a special state committee. You're watching live pictures from Moscow this morning.
The unipolar moment is done. It's going to be a tripolar world, Russia, China, America. If you just look at the military, the three most powerful military nations, or it's the U.S. and the West financial system versus the BRICS, which has China, Russia, Brazil, India, South Africa. Either way, America is no longer the 1,000-pound gorilla that can just walk around the country smacking little monkeys around. That day is over. We couldn't even stop the Houthis from firing missiles in the Red Sea. So that's a key choke point. The Red Sea cuts off going all the way around Africa.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
We are finally able to make an arrest of an individual by the name of Brian Cole.
He had zero criminal history, saying that the government, when they were presenting, said that he was getting riled up online. He was all engaging in these kind of theories and things. And they said, there's no evidence of that at all. No messages, no texts, no evidence of any radicalization from their perspective. And they had to come back out and, as I mentioned earlier, admit that and say, he was a consumer of this media, not a poster.
An investigation spearheaded by the deputy director and the ADIC of our Washington field office brought in a new team of investigators and experts, reexamined every piece of evidence, sifted through all the data, something that the prior administration refused and failed to do.
He is a level one autistic man. He's got OCD. This explains all of the things that they're alleging, saying that the destruction of the cell phone evidence wasn't destruction of evidence. It was just an autistic man with OCD who resets his phone to the tune of 943 times.
What I think happened, this is Kyle Serafin's full opinion, I believe the FBI identified Brian Cole probably in that loop of like maybe 90 where they did some additional work. He was generally speaking in the area of, and then when they ran it down, they found out that he was not a good match because the pipe bomber route, it's roughly near where it says 1, 2, 3, 4 in a tight little cluster towards the center of the map. That's where the pipe bomber would have had to have been for the actual time that they say that the person was there. So there's a route of the actual bomber, and it's very, very small. You see it red and green. The number one is not inside sector number one. The number two is not inside sector number two very clean, or I guess it's on the edge. Three is right on the line, four, and so on. So they have pings that are relatively close to where they should be, but they're not actually a slam dunk. This is not evidence. This is thin. This is like an indication to go do further information. Brian Cole Jr. was arrested under a complaint that was filed with the district court, the District of D.C., and they arrested a guy out of Woodbridge, Virginia for the pipe bomber case, claimed that he was the one who did it. If you don't get that indictment, then you have to take it in front of a judge for a preliminary hearing.
This is really interesting. Apparently, D.C. is unique in that it is the only district where this can occur, where a superior court grand jury can be used in district court. Interesting that Boasberg's kind of floating around at the center of it all too.
They took every means, they filed all the means, they put all these motions out that said, hey, please, like, let's kick this down the line. We want to go to next year. We want to wait until we get in front of a grand jury. We don't want to have a preliminary hearing. And the defense, which is really aggressive, it's a new law firm that's out of Tennessee. They're former United States attorneys and they're apparently very good, went out and said, no. We insist on having the preliminary hearing today, Tuesday, December the 30th. And so DOJ panicked and yesterday took Brian Cole Jr.'s case in front of a superior court, the lower court, in front of a grand jury, and got an indictment there.
You know, the prosecution was there. There was about 6 to 7 prosecutors sitting at that table. It was a little lopsided because he's sitting there with his one attorney. But that's obviously very standard. If you have the weight of the federal government against you, generally there's going to be 10 prosecutors. And if you're lucky, you could afford an attorney or else you get a public defender.
Right now, you're seeing the house that Brian Cole Jr. lives in, and that's his vehicle. That's a blue Nissan Sentra 2017. This is the map of the cell phone pings and the towers that DOJ used. And now you're seeing what we believe is Brian Cole Jr.'s car driving at 8:04 it's driving while the pipe bomber is on foot over a mile away. And there's one other car that matches this description, and it's driven by a white person. We can't see who the driver of this is. But if that is Brian Cole Jr.'s car, then Brian Cole Jr. was driving while the pipe bomber was on foot dropping off the bombs, and it couldn't have been him.
Oh, this is a real Perry Mason moment. If I sound a little speechless here, this is so devastating.
So very simply, between the hours of 7:34 p.m. and 8:18 p.m. on January 5th, 2021, the pipe bomber is on foot, walking around with the hood on. That's who the FBI and the DOJ allege Brian Cole Jr. is, that figure. But the problem is a car that matches Brian Cole's car is in motion in Washington, D.C., over a mile away and driving in a route that's at least 7 minutes away and could not be him. There's no way outside of teleportation or some sort of magical time warp that Brian Cole Jr. is both driving his car and walking around at that time. So at the very least, it shows that there would have to be another person involved. More likely than not, what it shows is they've got the wrong guy altogether, which is what I believe for quite a while now.
Well, Kyle Serafin's not the only one who's not buying the pipe bomber's story. It's also the rest of us who have read through that criminal complaint. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. All right, a little bit of a different start, and that's because it's been a bit crazy on my side of things. We're going to be dropping an exclusive interview in just a bit around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. I'll be joined by a woman who was added to the TSA terror watch list because, well, someone called in a phony tip to the FBI back on January 6th. Oh, by the way, happy January 6th anniversary. It's the five-year anniversary. A lot to discuss there. But, yeah, we're going to have her in studio discussing all of this because I just got my hands on a lot of documents. And, folks, it's not looking good for the Biden regime's DOJ or FBI or even this current DOJ because the individual who wanted Christine Crowder, arrested, locked up, thrown in prison. Well, guess what? He still works for the DOJ. We've got the documents that prove that she was innocent from day one. You'll never believe what I've uncovered. This was all handed over to Senator Rand Paul's office, who will be dropping this for everyone else later in the day. But we got our hands on it first. I released this on the independentnewsroom.com. You can look at it yourself. It's redacted, but fairly redacted for personal information use. But again, we beat everyone to this story. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem giving me a statement just moments ago in regards to this report. Noem coming out and just saying in June, I ended the quiet guys and called for congressional investigations to unearth the further corruption at the expense of the American people and the undermining of the U.S. national security. So again, she's highlighting the facts that, yes, this is true. This is true. The Trump administration is returning TSA to its true mission of being laser focused on safety and security of the traveling public. Now, you guys aren't going to believe what we're going to talk about when we go through these documents. You're not going to believe it because, folks, the woman who's going to be joining me in studio today, well, an ex-friend of hers who is deceased flagged her and said that she saw Crowder inside of the Capitol. Well, the images at the FBI in their documents show a woman waving. It's actually her left hand, so she's waving. The only thing is Crowder is actually partially paralyzed, and she's been that way for decades. And so the woman that they show in the documents that they were actually going to go and arrest Crowder for show a woman lifting her left hand and waving to the crowd, which is something that Crowder is not capable of doing. She hasn't been capable of doing that since she was 26 years old. Again, she's going to join me in studio to react to all of this because she is the only one I've seen really get into how she ended up on this terror watch list. Many of you guys know I sued TSA over this and TSA claimed national security. And so I was unable to go public with all of the information, unfortunately. But again, this is what happened. They used BS photos from security footage. You can't even see that it's Crowder. You can't even see the person's face. The woman's wearing a completely different outfit than what Crowder was wearing that day. And as you can see here in this image, she's raising her left hand, something the woman that they were so convinced That was her. Well, she can't do it. And it gets even worse. The DOJ is an absolute embarrassment, even under new leadership. The individual who we now have his internal email, where he actually moved her on a list to be charged as a misdemeanor, well, that individual is still working, according to his LinkedIn, at the DOJ. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. It's just so disgusting. It's just so disgusting. Again, no major arrests. This woman was almost arrested. The FBI is surveilling her home. And it's infuriating. But we're going to dive into all the details. There's a lot more that I didn't even touch that we're going to get into. Again, this is going to be dropped by Senator Rand Paul's office in just a few moments. We got it there first. If you want to read it fully, you head on over to independentnewsroom.com and download the document yourself. But again, like I mentioned, folks, and by the way, it's free. Sign up over there as well. But as I've mentioned to you, it's been 5 years since January 6th. And what a heck of an anniversary. Not much has really happened on our quest for justice for those who have been wronged by the system. We've uncovered a lot over the years, but not much in the way of getting justice. Key people who are out here leading these persecutions, they're still in positions of power, strangely enough. Chairman Loudermilk, he's running the J6 Select Committee. Now, again, keep in mind, we'll be fair here. He has taken over just recently, a couple of weeks ago, and he's got the rough job of having to dig through and sift through all of the documents, plus try to find the things that the previous J6 Committee deleted. But he took the X to remember the five-year anniversary by giving just a quick little summary that he's looking to uncover the truth or the fixing of the security failures. Obviously, talking about the previous committee, saying that it was partisan. And it was designed to advance a narrative to target President Donald J. Trump and his political allies. True accountability requires focus on facts, not selective storytelling for partisan gain. That was something that the previous J6 committee was very, very much doing. At your expense, of course, because it cost the American taxpayers millions and millions of dollars. So again, DHS Secretary Chrissy Noem just moments ago responding to my report. And we'll have more throughout today's show, of course. So buckle up. It's a big one. In the meantime, though, let me walk you through what we're going to be discussing on today's show. And like I said, it's a big one. So later today, we're going to be waiting to see if President Trump does. He's supposed to speak publicly over at the Trump Kennedy Center at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. We'll bring it to you when he does begin to speak, because President Donald Trump is expected to deliver marks in front of the House GOP member retreat. So he's heading over there right now. We'll bring it to you, though, as it begins. We'll also be following and making sure that if anything big happens at President Trump's policy meeting today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, that we bring it to you, of course. So we've got our eyes on a lot. And it's not just us. Also, the Trump administration is trying to follow a lot of the tips that are coming in regarding fraud. President Trump moments ago, and this is why it was such a busy morning for me. Very busy morning. You know, President Trump taking to Truth Social and posting that California, under Governor Gavin Newsom, is more corrupt than Minnesota, if that's even possible, pretty much. The fraud investigation of California has begun. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So President Trump has launched an investigation into the things related to fraud in California. So it's Minnesota and California currently under investigation for taking your taxpayer dollars and shifting it over allegedly to fraudulent daycare centers, possibly health companies, possibly. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, Tim Walz, the individual who is leading the state of Minnesota, well, he is not very happy. In fact, he had to bow out of his reelection campaign. He's not happy about that. Take a listen to clip one, who he's blaming.
We've got conspiracy theorist right-wing YouTubers breaking into our daycares, demanding access to our children. We've got the President of the United States demonizing our Somali neighbors and wrongfully confiscating funds that Minnesotans rely on. It's disgusting and it's dangerous.
Ah, those damn conspiracy theorists. They're the ones to really blame in all of this. Not the fraudulent fraudsters, but the conspiracy theorists who are trying to dig into the truth. Is it really a conspiracy if you're stepping away right now, sir? The facts were truly on your side, you wouldn't be bowing out. You would actually still be in this race. But remember, in a state that has roughly 6 million residents and about 100,000 Somalians, he did a lot to change that state and cater towards that very thin Somalian margin. So why is that? Why is that? Well, we know the Somalians like to drop off bags of money. I'm sure that money has probably been shifted over somewhere else if it ever landed at Tim Walz's door, in my opinion, of course. So now we have a very corrupt governor, almost vice president of the United States. Well, now we have him bowing out because, well, that's what guilty people do. They bow out. Otherwise, you'd fight for the truth. When the truth's not on your side, you bow out and hope the attention shifts. Well, President Trump isn't letting up anytime soon, and the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is doing just that. She believes that, Tim Walz is criminally liable. Take a listen to clip two.
The Department of Justice has convicted and prosecuted nearly 100 defendants in Minnesota. And because of these new details and this new reporting that has come to light, this is a all hands on deck across the entire government effort. We are surging resources. You saw today the Department of Homeland Security announced we have nearly 2,000 agents from the Homeland Security Investigations Team. The FBI is on the ground and we're freezing money. HHS cut off funding for child care centers and for daycare. USDA Secretary Rollins has been asking Governor Walz to see the recipients of SNAP in his state. So this is all hands on deck, rest assured. It's a top priority for President Trump. And he believes that Governor Walz is criminally liable. And I think the Department of Justice is going to find out.
Yep. We'll see if it is the case. We'll see if it is the case. Now, I hope there is something that results from all of this, not just like the low fruit getting rounded up and arrested. Right, the little guy who's on the ground, maybe the person working the front desk. They're going to pin all of this as the mastermind on a person who really wasn't there for any of this, but just filling a space. Those who were involved need to be held accountable. There was no excuse for any of this. None, zero, zilch. And this has been ongoing. In fact, we know that it's been ongoing because we see that there's been plenty of local reports. Liz Collins been exposing this, saying that she had a whistleblower on, TSA whistleblower on, saying that millions of dollars is being shuffled out of the airport to Somalia in cash, in suitcases, and TSA was aware of it. President Trump spoke about this yesterday, too, again on Truth Social, saying Minnesota's corrupt governor will possibly leave office before his term is up, but in any event, will not be running again because he was caught red-handed, along with Ilhan Omar and others of his Somali friends, stealing tens of billions of taxpayer dollars. I feel certain that the facts will come out and they will reveal a serious, obviously very serious, serious issue here. And I love the fact that he's calling out not just Walz, but obviously Newsom, Pritzker, and Hochul. It's very likely that all of those Democrats were doing the same damn thing. Same damn thing. So it's good news for us because, yes, we're finally going to get to the truth. It's bad news for everyone who thought they could sit there and lie to the American people and quickly take your money and shift it out of the country. So that's good on that front. We'll also be joined later in the show by a good friend and obviously somebody who has a show on InfoWars every Sunday. Nick Shorter is going to be joining the program later today. And he's had a busy night. So I told him, if you could join us, let me know. He said, yeah, I'll be there. But there's really good news in regards to Nick because Nick just broke an exclusive that the Hilton Hotel is actually responding to. He's just not letting up in Minnesota. He's there right now. He's knocking on doors. He's pissing off Tim Walz. And earlier today, he actually posted a clip. And that's why I really can't wait to have him on the program today. Because it caught the Hilton's hotel, the corporate office, caught their attention. You see, yesterday DHS put out an email And in that email, it detailed specifically how their own agents were being turned away from this one specific hotel. I believe it was a Hampton Inn, but it's not owned by the corporation. It's actually franchised. And that's what they responded by saying. Now, obviously, DHS not happy that their agents weren't allowed to stay there. They were pushed out, even though they had reservations, allegedly. But Hilton came out and said, listen, we've already spoken to the owner of the property. They know we do not abide by this. And I got to give credit when credit's due. Hilton did respond quickly. They did. And I don't really hold it against them, because if a property owner, and it's not their corporate office putting this down, sending this email out, saying we're not going to allow them to stay here, it's an individual who owns that hotel. I don't blame them for not wanting to get involved in that and just coming out and flat saying, we didn't do anything about this. This wasn't us. But we did speak to them. We told them that this is unacceptable. We won't allow it. Well, according to their comment, it sounded like everything was good until Nick Sorter showed up to the scene. He actually spoke with the front desk clerk, and it didn't go very well for this property owner. In fact, it went really, really bad. Let's take a quick listen to clip 15.
So we're not accepting people from immigration, ICE agents, DHS into our property. It's just the prior management ownership.
Okay, yeah. I thought that changed today. Was that?
I just talked to my, the owner of the building, uh-huh. And, he didn't say there has been any changes. So,
really? Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's just policy, you know, that.
Yeah. I mean, that's not your fault. Totally, yeah. Totally get that. So they actually said that was like, I mean, honestly, this is the most convenient location. So
right.
So they told you no, that there's no.
Yeah, no. Immigration.
Well, DHS isn't all.
Yeah.
Immigration. Okay. So even with the thing that they said earlier, where they mentioned that there was a statement that they put out, you know, saying that they accept everybody and.
I haven't been informed. I could call my owner right now if you want.
Yeah.
And ask him what's.
That'd probably be good. Just trying to figure it out. So because it's a. Somebody said, I didn't know it was this location, but Everpeak Hospitality, right?
I'm new here, okay. So I don't really know what's...
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I'll just call him.
That's fine. Pretty good. Just to be clear, like, I'm not trying to cause any problems. It's just it's 10, 11 o'clock now,
right,
so...
Right, yeah. I get it, yeah. I'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so nobody's answering my calls right now.
Okay.
Because of the time, but...
Gotcha. Okay, so this is Everpeak, though, and they said, Everpeak Hospitality's moved swiftly to address this matter as it was inconsistent with our policy of being a welcoming place for all. We are in touch with the impacted guests to ensure they are accommodated without discriminating against any individuals or agencies.
All right, obviously, things not going well over there at the Hilton. But the corporate office saying they've actually just taken and removed that specific hotel from their system. So slight justice, some might say. All right, folks, we got a jam-packed program for you in just a bit. There was a reporter from Rebel News on the ground interviewing Venezuelans. She'll join us in a moment to talk about how Venezuelans feel about Maduro being ousted. We'll be right back.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other
stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Actually, we were living pretty good in Venezuela many years ago. We have been here, 20 years? And we were doing good until Chavez came. And then the army, and particularly, I worked for the oil industry, and they came after me. So I had to leave the country. And after a couple of years, I had to bring all my family. That's the reason. Otherwise, I didn't have any other reason.
What was the main reason why they came after
you? I was a manager in one of the oil industry companies. I was the IT manager. And they wanted me to allow them to listen to all of the phone conversation. And I said, no, you're not going to do that while I'm the manager. I'm not going to allow you to do that. And that, you know, brought a lot of problems to me. And after a couple of years, I had to leave. They came after me because I didn't allow them. Yeah, they, you know, that's communists. They don't care. I told them, you're not going to listen to the conversation. The people that I know. I know the people here. I know how honest they are. I'm not going to allow you to listen to private conversation, but to find out, there's nothing here. No, that's not going to happen. You have to come to some other way, but not through me. And that's why. I mean, they went after everybody. That's what they've been doing for the last 26 years.
What do you think only Donald Trump did something regarding Nicolas Maduro?
We all are very happy what happened. We, the Venezuelans, we are very sure that Nicolas Maduro is a criminal. And about narcotics, everybody knows that he's the leader of the cartel de los Soles. Everybody knows that. And he's been killing people for many years, young guys, young people, and taking people to jail, being innocent. You know, he deserves. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I deserve the worst for him. And I believe a high percentage of Venezuelan people deserve the same. They think the same that I'm telling you.
That is Alexandra Lawa, and she joins us now. She's one of the incredible journalists over at Rebel News, and she was on the ground in Miami interviewing so many incredible patriots who flooded to the streets to show love for Venezuela, but also appreciation for America. And Alexandria joins us right now. We're very excited to have you on the show today. I want to highlight the fact that you were one of the French journalists over at Rebel News. And it's quite an honor to have you on today's show because you were on the ground in Miami. And it was quite impressive to hear how Venezuelans who fled to the U.S., who have appreciation for this country and what's been done thus far and the many years that they've spent over here. What was the common theme here? Because that gentleman right there says he used to work in the oil industry, and as soon as the country went communist, they started targeting him. So what was some of the backstory there?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. We spoke with so many people, either in Spanish or in English, and all of them has a different story. Some of them fled Chavez regime. Some of them fled Maduro regime, but most of them, it's because they were opponent to the regime. And so afterwards they were persecuted. Some of them have no food or anything to feed their family. They were no power, sometime no water. So most of them knew that they had to live, or they were going to die. Most of them, when I spoke with them, they were happy and they were celebrating. And some of them had tears in their eyes when they were telling their story. It was really heartbreaking, but in the same time, seeing all of them together celebrating in the street, that was something so beautiful to see.
Yeah, and Alexandria, you know, here in the United States, we have a group of left-wing protesters who are going out there and they're supporting Maduro. You know, we saw them outside of that federal courthouse in New York City just yesterday, and they're making it seem like the people of Venezuela like Maduro, that this is actually a legitimate leader and someone who was just peacefully leading a country when he was kidnapped and then brought to the United States. But it doesn't sound like that was the theme with those who were on the streets, who were actually there on the ground in Venezuela and had to flee because of all of the violence, all of the crime. What do you make of that? Because we're going to keep playing more of your clips. You did a great job on the ground over there. But just sitting back and listening to that gentleman speak about how he had to flee and then watching how Americans, left-wing liberals, are on the streets and protesting for Maduro's release, it seems as if almost they have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, first of all, it's not just happening in the U.S. Mm-hmm. In Canada, we have also some protests pro-Maduro. Mainly, those people are saying, oh, we are siding with the oppressed people. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, they are siding with the oppressor. Because it's the same people that are protesting against Israel also, who are pro-Hamas, Hamas that are oppressing their own people. They don't know what they are talking about. If you look at the crowd, mainly it will be Westerner. It was not, they are not from Latin America. They are not from, dictatorship, government. They are protesting, because they think that it's the right thing to do. Anyway, they are against Trump, against any kind of action that Trump can do. But those people, I don't know if, among them, there's paid actor, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And we saw some Latino that actually spoke in favor of Maduro, but we don't know the background of these people. Are they friend of the regime? Are they being paid for saying what they are saying? We don't know. But what I can tell you, the vast majority of Venezuelans are for the action that Trump did on Saturday morning. They are happy that the dictator had been captured, and they are unanimous on the fact that this man was a criminal, he was illegitimate, and that he needed to be removed. Yeah. And those people are protesting in the street. I don't think they know the extension of the suffering that Nicolas Maduro did to his people.
Yeah, I don't think they understand that. And sadly, these are the same people who are voting in communists here in the United States as well. And so it is really infuriating to see and to have to pretend like there's not a common theme here, that we do, in fact, here in the U.S. have our own communists that we really should be concerned about. But I really appreciated this woman you spoke to in clip 12 that we're going to play here, because she's speaking about oil. And a lot of the critics who are criticizing President Trump for doing this, for carrying out this capture, are hyper-focused on the oil angle to all of this. This one Venezuelan woman that you spoke to had a different perspective when it comes to oil. Take a listen.
So you probably saw some Democrats, including the new mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, literally declare that what Trump did on Saturday morning was illegal. What do you think of that?
Again, if people don't live through it, they won't know how desperate us Venezuelans are for a change. I know they're talking about Trump only wanting the oil, but everybody's there for the oil. Russia, Iran, everybody's there for the oil already. China. So if Trump needs the oil to give us freedom, then that's a price we're willing to pay just so that we have our freedom and make a change. In 26 years, nobody has done anything for our country except for Trump. So if that's a price that he's the only one that has made an action on it, and he's the only one that has delivered his promise. So if that's the price we need to pay for it, then that's okay. Venezuela has a lot of other resources. It's not just oil. We have minerals. We have so many other things that once our country is better, then we, as Maria Corina always say, we will be an amazing country. We just need that change and somebody to help us for it.
Was that a common theme amongst those you spoke to, where they were just saying, listen, if it's for oil, they could take the oil. At this point, we'll pay any price for freedom? Because we saw, this was, I think, 6 years ago when Venezuelans tried to rebel, tried to protest, and Nicolas Maduro's military used their military tanks to just run over people who were peacefully protesting, and that's when they became violent afterwards. But, I mean, we all saw that play out before our very own eyes, and no one went in to save these people. So is this the common theme here, where they're willing to just pay the price of oil just to get a little ounce of freedom?
Yes. Everybody had the same view on this. They say, anyway, we never touch our oil. We never had the chance to actually profit from them. So if he wants our oil to give us freedom, then take it. Because everybody was saying the same thing. Everyone who comes to Venezuela is for oil. If it's China, Russia, or other country around the world, they are coming from the oil. But if it's for giving us freedom, then we prefer Donald Trump over other country. And, you know, it's a thing. They never actually had the chance to live wealthy on our natural resources. They never saw it. And, you know, at the end of the day, what they want is to remove that regime that oppressed them and starved them and imprisoned them for so long. So at the end of the day, same if Donald Trump won the oil, at least if it's for giving them freedom and also receiving a certain part of it to get them wealthier that they are, because in the 1970s, Venezuela was rich, one of the richest country in Latin America. So if they can actually come back to that time, I think it would be better for Venezuela. And I think they prefer giving their oil to the United States than other country that would just abuse and support a regime that oppressed them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that's the price they have to pay, because they've already paid with blood and that didn't do it for them. And so, you know, I understand that. And it's interesting as we see the president, and I'll, you know, go in detail this later on throughout the show, but the president not bringing Machado back in to be the leader of Venezuela, even though they've claimed that she won the election. So their future of Venezuela is still kind of in a haze right now. I don't think a lot of people understand what the future really the future has in store for them. I wanted to play this clip before you go, though, because I think this one, Alexa, is really important. In clip 13, you also speak with a woman who, it's really sad, but her family, after seeing communists take over her country, started fleeing because they knew exactly what was going to play out afterwards. And they've slowly pulled out of Venezuela, but sadly, they can't even celebrate this moment altogether. That's clip 13. So let's take a listen to that.
I'm American, but my whole family's Venezuelan. I grew up mainly in Venezuela till I was 6 years old, then I moved here. We moved mainly because of we saw how the situation was going to go. My family was one of the first ones to leave, and then little by little, most of my family came with us. And it's just really sad to be here today, and then we just see, it's really happy, actually, to see all these people coming together in such a beautiful way because of what happened yesterday with Maduro leaving. It's one of the biggest blessings that we've had in years. It's the farthest that we've come in years, and it's just what is sad is knowing that, you know, I can't have all of my family with me today because, one, we're not on Venezuela where we're supposed to be all together. Two, my whole family, we have some who are here, some in Orlando, some in Boston, some in Spain, some in Colombia. We all had to migrate in different places and be separated by a cruel man who was just selfish and greedy.
Hear those words. When you hear this woman speaking about how her family is scattered all around, they can't even celebrate this moment together, something that they'd obviously love to do. That's a common theme amongst Venezuelans. They're all over the country right now just looking for work. And obviously when you migrate to this country, both illegally and legally, there is problems with employment. So I could only imagine what her family's had to endure thus far. What do you make of these comments that she made to you, though, about her family kind of being, it's a sad moment for her because her family can't celebrate together.
Yeah, this is the difference in between fleeing your country for better job opportunity or fleeing your country because you want to save your life. You don't have to choose where you're going. You just go where you can go. Yeah. And so this is what happened with most of Venezuelan. It's they didn't choose. They just went where they could actually immigrate. So there is some people in Europe, there is some people in Colombia, there is some people in Canada, in the US, a little bit everywhere around the world. And I think there is what 8 million of Venezuelans outside of Venezuela who flee their country. So it's really sad because when you think of that, I would be heartbreaking to be away from my own family and not being able to celebrate a huge victory like that for, if I was from Venezuela, from my country. But, and I'm not really surprised of that. And most of the people had family a little bit everywhere, as well as inside of Venezuela. Some people are worried also from their people inside of Venezuela. Why? Because the regime is still in place. There is still people work for Maduro that are governing the country as of right now. So I don't know what will happen in the next couple of weeks to months, but I know that some people are worried for their people inside of the country as of right now. But the good thing is a step towards the good direction to remove mainly the dictator, Maduro. And we'll see what will happen next.
Yeah, well, we got our eyes on all of this, obviously, and Americans are hoping for the best for Venezuela. We know that their asylum claims, though, likely won't follow through anymore. So a lot of these Venezuelans will be going back to their country shortly, and we've taken in thousands of them. They've lost their protection status as well here in the United States. So We do hope there are brighter days ahead for them. Alexa, thank you for all the incredible work that you do for Rebel News. We greatly appreciate it. You do an incredible job. So, folks, if you'd like to give her a follow on X, it's The Voice Alexa. Over on X, The Voice Alexa. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your reporting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You as well. You as well. Folks, we're keeping our eye, obviously, on all things related to Venezuela. And I laugh at this one because I had to fact check it. So far, Bloomberg is reporting that Secretary of State Marco Rubio has been assigned to lead the role in regards to how the U.S. approaches Venezuela. Now, seriously, he's getting added another task to his workload. I thought that when I worked over at Fox and the three shows they put me on as a producer was slaving me away, but apparently I've never worked for the Trump administration, and poor Marco Rubio is slaving away. But apparently that means he's good at his job, so he'll be in charge of, you know, things like transition oversight, policy leverage, the conditions for change, and the democratic future. As well, he'll also be preparing the congressional briefings on all things related to Venezuela. So, little Marco, he's got a lot on his plate, that man. Not ideal. I don't think I'd ever want a new role in that. Sounds like a lot of work. A lot of work. I want to play clip three for you. So, as many of you guys know, there was a woman named Maria Machado who was elected, we believe, was the elected president. And by the way, it's when I say we, I mean our government does. And also a lot of other countries do. They never recognized Nicolas Maduro as the leader. And it wasn't just her, too. There was another individual 6 years back. I believe his name, last name is Guaido. And he apparently won that election, too. But Nicolas Maduro was allegedly the one who stole that election, too. So this has been ongoing. And they have elections and they get stolen and they just can't do anything about it. But the Venezuelan so-called winner, Maria Machado, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, we reported on this just a few months ago when she won the Nobel Peace Prize because we all thought that Trump should have won it because at least by then he had, what, like seven wars under his belt that he had ended. But it wasn't. It was her who won that. It was quite strange. But she did at the time extend the Nobel Peace Prize over to President Trump. And she's doing that and renewing that commitment again in clip three. Take a listen.
Till you went to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And I want you to tell us, you never went back at that point. Did you not go back because you feared for your life? And tell us, I mean, it's not very usual that people will dedicate the Nobel Peace Prize to the leader of a different country and say publicly, he deserves this more than I do. But you did that.
Let me be very clear. As soon as I learned that we had been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, I dedicated to President Trump because I believed at that point that he deserved it. And a lot of people, most people said it was impossible to achieve what he has just done on Saturday, January 3rd. So if I believed he deserved it on October, imagine now. I think he has proven to the world what he means. I mean, January 3rd will go down in history as the day justice defeated a tyranny. It's a milestone, and it's not only huge for the Venezuelan people and our future. I think it's a huge step for humanity, for freedom and human dignity.
Have you spoken with President Trump since then?
I spoke with President Trump on October 10th, the same day the prize was announced. Not since then, but I do want to say today, on behalf of the Venezuelan people, how grateful we are for his courageous vision, the actions, historical actions he has taken against this narco-terrorist regime to start dismantling this structure and bringing Maduro to justice, which means that 30 million Venezuelans are now closer to freedom, but also that the United States of America is a safer country nowadays.
Right. Did you at any point offer to give him the Nobel Peace Prize?
President Trump is actually responding to, I guess, Machado, who apparently, although she's praising the president, President Trump does not believe that she is equipped to become the next leader. And he did just that in clip four. Take a listen.
Oh, I think it would be very tough for her to be the leader. She doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. She's a very nice woman, but she doesn't have the respect to be the leader.
All right. So it's quite strange, right? Because we were told that she was going to be taking over potentially. I think that was what was reported because they said that, you know, Maduro lost. And so if Maduro lost the election, he wrongfully claimed victory, then this woman would be the leader. But then President Trump coming out and saying she doesn't have the support. Now there's rumors circulating. I believe the New York Times coming out and saying that there was a couple of things that were happening behind the scenes in regards to her, and the reason why they don't think she was equipped, because they were trying to work out maybe possibly political prisoners that she needed free. They asked for a list. According to the Times, I believe it was, they didn't get the list back. So there's a lot of back and forth in regards to all of this. And President Trump not thinking that she should be the leader. But if she won the election, then what does the President of the United States really have against that? Because, folks, this isn't our country. This is Venezuela. It belongs to the Venezuelan people. So it's not up to us to sit here and decide who is their next leader now. Delcy Rodriguez, I believe, is the next woman who is now in charge. She is the VP. She's invited President Trump to speak with her. But again, it's not all great. It's not all great. And I think that's really the key point here, is I think people need to realize that there's a lot going on in Venezuela right now. And it's not up to us to decide who's the next leader of their country. It's up to the Venezuelan people. And again, the president saying this wasn't about regime change, so I understand why he can't just push her in there. But then again, if you're claiming, the U.S. government's claiming, and every other government's claiming that Nicolas Maduro lost his previous election, that would make her the president. So we'll have to just sit back and wait on that one. Again, it's all quite confusing because we don't really understand what's going on right now. And I really haven't had a take on this whole situation. I think what the job our military did was absolutely incredible. But I've hit the pause button on saying anything else because, number one, obviously the critics saying that this is all about oil. And obviously, I wouldn't support that if that is the case. But then there's also the behind-the-scenes back and forth that we probably don't know enough about. But we do know that Russia, China, Iran have all had their foot in Venezuela. And obviously, you don't want any of those three countries to be as close to the United States as they were if they were able to ship over their weapons. So yes, you don't want them in your hemisphere. And that would make sense as well. So before I come to an actual conclusion and could tell you whether this was a good thing, whether this was a bad thing, I could tell you right now our military did an incredible job at going out there and executing that warrant and capturing Nicolas Maduro, just given the fact that nobody was killed, and that is a blessing. I still, by the way, have not heard from the White House, the Pentagon telling me that they can't answer the question for me, that I had to turn to the White House for a response. But sadly, I still have not heard back from our White House in regards to how many service members were injured. Now, we know that there were some that were shot during all of this, but we don't know how many were injured. We don't have an exact number. And yesterday during the show, I was messaging and they did respond, and then I did write them back, and I haven't heard back since. But I am following up to find out the exact number, because I think that is very important for us to have. And I don't like the fact that they did not put that out there, because I've never seen an incident where we don't put that number out. Whether it was dozens or just a couple, we, as the American people, deserve to know. Folks, in case you haven't done so already, you got to head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com because Methylene Blue Tallow Bomb is on sale right now. Head on over to the shop and make sure you snatch yourself some. We've got so many incredible items. The Patriot Day sale, 47% off. Head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. Methylene Blue Tallow?
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Let's get ready to kick off the second hour of the show. All right, Nick Sorter might be waking up soon to join the program. He did promise me he was going to join us because he had a busy day, busy night. This guy doesn't sleep. He's out there. He's hitting the streets of Minnesota. He's probably, I guess, next to Nick Shirley, he's probably Tim Walz's least favorite person to hear from. He just did something incredible. He actually just walked over to one of the hotels that allegedly rejected DHS employees from being able to sleep there and stay there. You know, Nick just went over there and asked the hotel after the Hilton put out a statement saying, oh, it's franchise owned and that's up to them. Well, apparently Nick caught him on camera, the front desk person telling him, no, I mean, as far as I know, we're not supposed to be letting them in here. So the Hilton responded after seeing that video earlier this morning by saying, all right, we're done with this hotel. We're taking it out of our system at this point. So with that happening, Nick Sorter is going to wake up for us, hopefully, to do that interview. But I joke when I say he's going to wake up for us because folks, I feel bad asking Nick to jump on, but I also want to hear from Nick because Nick's on the ground. He's doing a lot of work. He's a busy guy. You know, in between a lot of his hits, he hosts a show on Sunday here on InfoWars, and he's doing an incredible job at just going on the ground and asking simple questions that nobody wants to seem to answer over in Minnesota. So we'll have him on the show today. We'll also have an exclusive. Christine Crowder will be joining the show. She's going to be in studio in a little bit. The reason why it's exciting to have her on the show is because I got my hands before anyone else on a couple of documents, and we got pages and pages of documents, and it outlines something that even after I sued TSA, I was unable to get, and it's infuriating. It's how Americans ended up on terror watch lists over at TSA. You'll never believe it, but this woman who didn't even go into the Capitol, nowhere near the Capitol, she just went to see President Trump speak on January 6th. Well, they threw her on a terror watch list, and the FBI... And you'll never believe, but the FBI actually poorly vetted it. I've got the documents that show that they're convinced that this woman, who's not Crowder, that they're convinced that this woman is the woman who entered the Capitol that day, not her. And we know it's not her because sadly, you know, she struggled after when she was 26 years old. She was unable to lift her left arm after giving birth. And this has been going on for decades. So this image alone proves that she's innocent because this person's waving, lifting up their left arm, something that she's unable to do. Well, the worst part about it is a DOJ official actually went out there and moved her case into the misdemeanor assignment queue. What does that mean? Well, that means that she's going to be charged potentially, arrested potentially. And so it's really important for us to highlight that this individual, Kenneth Quarter, according to his LinkedIn page, he is still working for the DOJ. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. So Crowder will be joining us in studio to discuss that. She's making her way over to the studio. And it's interesting because Rand Paul's office, the senator, obviously, he just released all of this moments ago. And again, we got our hands on it first. And it's interesting because when you compare the photos of what Christine was wearing that day compared to the individual that they accuse of being in the Capitol, it's pretty obvious it's not her. If you did some simple research. Oh, by the way, who turned her in? Oh, a friend, a former friend, I should say. Former friend said she saw her in footage walking in the Capitol, called the FBI, and the FBI jumped on it. Didn't really have any actual evidence of that, but they still surveilled at home anyway. I believe they did about 4 times. They physically surveilled her home. That's according to the documents we've just received. If you want to see those documents for yourself, head on over to theindependentnewsroom.com. It is downloadable. You could look at these documents yourself to understand how innocent Americans ended up on terror watch lists and how the FBI and DOJ never pulled them off of these watch lists and continue to investigate them, even though none of the evidence added up, of course. All right, buckle up, guys. We got a whole show packed in for you in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because methylene blue tallow has just launched and is available over at the shop. Of course, it is 100% grass-fed tallow, and it is another incredible product that we just launched over at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. All right. We've got a response from FBI Director Kash Patel that I'm plugging in right now and trying to bring straight to you guys as we continue to dive into this. But the FBI Director commenting on that story I told you about in the opening of the show, obviously this is being an exclusive that we brought to you first. And just some background in case you're just joining us now. Senator Rand Paul's office got his hands on documents regarding one individual who was at President Trump's January 6th rally, legal rally, went there, watched Trump speak, then left. She was wrongfully accused by a former friend of going into the Capitol that day, saying that they saw footage of her and she was there. So the FBI flagged it and continued to run it down for over a year, this investigation, even sending agents outside of her home. Now, interesting enough, the FBI director coming out now and saying, this case is an example of misplaced priorities and everything that was wrong with the federal law enforcement in the after of January 6th. So the FBI director also commenting on that. We also got comment earlier this morning. I got it from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's office exclusively. We put that up on Twitter as well. So Crowder's making her way to the studio right now. She'll join us in-house to discuss. And again, we can't just sit here and say, oh, this is where everything went wrong and pretend like things have changed. According to one source, I'm told the FBI agents who were assigned to, and it's hard for me to vet because, again, they don't confirm personnel matters, so bear with me here, but I'm told by a reliable source that the individuals who were a part of this case still are employed by the agency. Not only this, but I've been able to also confirm that the DOJ prosecutor who actually moved her case into the misdemeanor folder where they were going to prosecute her for a misdemeanor, well, this individual is also still working for the DOJ as well. He was one of the top individuals over at the, I think they call it the Capitol siege section over at the DOJ. So I'm very thankful that they are acknowledging these failures. That's incredible. Well, let's fire everyone who is a part of this. Let's just, or put them on unpaid suspension. That way they have to resign and you don't have to go through a process of a lawsuit. If you didn't have the cojones to go out there and expose this stuff, well, I lack empathy. I lack empathy. So we're going to continue to dive into this, but this is really, really important that we continue to talk about this, especially because it's been 5 years, you know, 5 years since January 6th. And if you're wondering if there are any arrests that have been made, no. Although we're told that they just caught the pipe bomber, but spare me. I'm not buying it right now. I'd like to see a little bit more evidence before we jump on board with that. But obviously, we'll dive into that throughout the show. All right, a lot happening, though. A lot of good things happening in the MAHA movement. We'll cover that this hour. We'll also cover a little bit more in regards to Venezuela because, folks, Venezuela is happening right now. I mean, everyone's talking about Venezuela, but specifically on CNN because they're always trying to find a flaw in everything. And still, I told you guys last hour, I haven't really developed a strong opinion about this. I'm holding back. I'm holding back. I'll tell you that our military did an incredible job, given the fact that none of them, thank God, lost their lives to all of this. They were up on the air, down the ground, 88 minutes, out of there. That's freaking impressive. But most importantly, I gotta say, it's giving the media a tough time because they don't know what they're going to be saying. They don't know how they criticize President Trump on this one. Because it's something that the Biden regime wanted to do but was incapable of doing, or they at least claimed, right? They put out a $25 million bounty on this guy's head but never actually did anything about it. Well, it got a little fiery yesterday on CNN, only because Stephen Miller was someone who they didn't really want on too much. In fact, according to his team, he had reached out several times to go on CNN, but they just didn't want him. Well, Jake Tapper felt a little risque and had Stephen Miller on the program last night. And it's a little bit of a longer clip than I normally would play, but it's about 4 minutes of the back and forth between Tapper and Miller. And it's quite the enlightening discussion. Take a listen to clip five.
Apparently, over the future of Greenland.
One last question, Stephen.
Doesn't make any sense.
One last question. The president was very quick to say that the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, opposition leader Machado in Venezuela, doesn't have the support in Venezuela to become the next president or the interim leader. And I wonder where he got that from, given that her cutout, Gonzalez, won the election last year, overwhelmingly. 70% of the vote or something like that. Why does the president think that Machado should not be the next leader? Why does he think she's weak?
First of all Venezuela experts agree. All Venezuela experts agree that it would be absurd and preposterous for us to suddenly fly her into the country and to put her in charge. And the military would follow her and the security forces would follow her. It's not even a serious question.
So should there be an election?
If you give me the floor for 30 seconds, let me tell you what we are doing here, Jake. The United States, this is sort of foundational. The United States is using its military to secure our interests unapologetically in our hemisphere. We're a superpower, and under President Trump, we are going to conduct ourselves as a superpower. It is absurd that we would allow a nation in our own backyard to become the supplier of resources to our adversaries, but not to us. To hoard weapons from our adversaries. To be able to be positioned as an asset against the United States rather than on behalf of the United States.
Sovereign countries shouldn't be able to do what they want to do.
The Monroe Doctrine and the Trump Doctrine is all about securing the national interests of America. For years, we sent our soldiers to die in deserts in the Middle East to try to build them parliaments,
Stephen,
to try to build them democracies, to try to give them more oil, to try to give them more resources. The future of the free world, Jake, depends on America being able to assert ourselves and our interests without apology. This whole period that happened after World War II, where the West began apologizing and groveling and begging what I'm talking about, Jake, is the idea. And by the way, I know you love doing that smarmy thing, Jake, and I was hoping you'd be better than that this time.
I asked you if there would be an election in Venezuela. That's what I asked. Why was the president so quick to dismiss Machado? You answered that question.
The objective, Jake, is security and stability for the people of Venezuela. With our help and leadership, that country will become more prosperous than it has ever been in its whole history.
But the woman running Venezuela right now is part of the Maduro regime.
There will be conversations, Jake, about all of these guideposts along the way. The reason why I was giving you that speech, which I know you didn't want to hear, is because you're approaching this from the wrong frame. This neoliberal frame that the United States' job is to go around the world and demanding immediate elections be held everywhere, immediately, all the time, right away. To create these vacuums.
That's not what I think, but you invaded the country. We went into the country and we seized the leader of Venezuela.
Damn straight we did.
And I'm saying,
elections? Jake, is that we're not going to let Tim Pot communist dictators send rapists into our country, send drugs into our country, send weapons into our country.
Okay.
And we're not going to let a country fall into the hands of our adversaries. The future of Venezuela, working with America, is going to be so bright and so incredible and so positive. And we'll have a conversation about everything that you raised. But the priority right now, as the president has made clear, is a judicious, thoughtful, careful transition process.
All right, I'm going to step in on this one because I think Jake Tapper has a fair point. I think it's fair to ask Stephen Miller what's going on here. Because again, it's still the Maduro regime when the VP who's stepping into the position is someone who is obviously working very close with Maduro. So again, this is something that is very concerning, and I think it's a fair question. I do think it's a fair question that's worthy of being asked. Folks, I want to head on over right now to the Trump Kennedy Center because President Trump has just begun to speak. He's speaking to the House GOP members on a retreat right now. Let's head on over there to see what the president's talking about right now.
Calling 3 a.m, I said, I shouldn't use any names. I'm just going to create problems. But hi, Jim, and I'm not talking about Jim Jordan. I never had a call 3 a.m. for him. But I said, hi, Jim, how you doing? I just called to say hello, you know, 3 a.m. Okay, sir. Sir, you haven't spoken to me in 3 years, and it's now 3 a.m, so I know what you want. You want my vote? And usually, almost always, they'd give it. But they wanted to be called. And with Doug, I never had a call. He was with us right from the beginning. I love those guys. I must say, I probably love them the best, you know? The guys that I don't have to call, they know we're doing the right thing. I have a couple that are going to be with us all the way, but they just want the call. They want love. They need love. They're more insecure than a lot, most of you. It's true. No, most of you are secure people. They're all laughing. No, most of you are secure people. I had a couple say, look, I could have Trump call me all the time. I just have to break his ass a little bit. And he'll be calling, calling, calling. But I appreciate those. We actually had a little party. We opened up a beautiful section of the White House in the Rose Garden, and we had a party for all of those people that I never speak to and vote for me. And, you know, I spoke to Doug, but I didn't speak to him about, I mean, never had a problem. And I was really, saddened by his passing and was thinking about not even doing the speech in his honor. But then I decided that I have to do it. In his honor. I'll do it in his honor because he would have wanted it that way. He would have wanted it that way. He would have said, do that speech. Are you kidding me? Do the speech, big guy. But he was a fantastic person. Man, that was a quick one. I don't know. I don't know quite yet what happened, but boy, it's a tough one. He was just with us. He was our friend, all of us, every one of us. And I also want to send our best wishes to Congressman Jim Baird and his wife, who are recovering from a car accident. They're going to be okay, but they had a pretty bad accident. And we're praying that they get out of that hospital very quickly. He's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. But it was a bad accident. And I want to thank the man who has been central to so many of our triumphs. He really has been. He's the guy that would call me to make those calls all the time. He's always working. And he's a nice person. You know, he's a high quality person. But I want to tell you, he's a very tough cookie. I've seen both sides. Not often do I have to see the other side because he's just, by nature, he's a very fine, religious. I like that. He's a religious person. I like that. I like religious people. It usually means they're more honest. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. I've had some real religious ones that did numbers on me, and I said, I'm going to get them someday. They got me by surprise, but it's usually good, okay, right? And his name is Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson. He has my complete and total endorsement. Stand up, Speaker. So, you know, but it is true. A lot of times they'll say, I wish Mike were tougher. He's tough. He's tougher as anybody in the room, actually. But can't be tough when you have a majority of 3. And now, sadly, a little bit less than that. I mean, a little bit less than that, maybe. But can't be Trump. You can't, I want you. You know, you make 10 enemies, 20 enemies. That's the end of that, right? Everybody loves him. I would say there's one person he's given up on. I mean, I think he just gave up on this guy. He's so bad. He never votes for us. But no matter how good, he won't vote for us. There's a sickness there. You know, there's something wrong. You can have the greatest bill, the greatest for the country. Forget about for Republicans. Great, great, great for the country. I'm a no vote. We don't even bother calling him at 3 a.m, do we? Huh? But I want to thank another guy who's as tough as they come, because he went through something that none of us have gone through. I went through a little shot, but I get that throbbing feeling every once in a while. But what he went through was incredible. And that Steve Scalise, he got hit hard. Where's Steve? Steve. He's a tough cookie. He was dead. I went to the hospital. His wife was crying so much. It was a mess. Oh, yeah, yeah, she loves you. That's the only thing I learned about Steve, that he has a wife who loves him. Because I've gone to hospitals where guys are in bad shape, and the wife couldn't care less. She's waiting. She's looking for the next guy. Who's the next guy down the pike? Who the hell is the next guy? He's died. I said, that's so bad. Oh, yeah, yeah. I had one where the dog died and the husband died at the same time. I said, it's so sad. Yes, I love this dog so much. She couldn't give it. And the guy left her a fortune. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
I shouldn't have left her anything, but she was much more concerned.
No, he's not.
It's true. Oh, the dog was devastated. The husband, he was like an afterthought. Your wife loves you, Steve. She's a great wife. Another one who has a great wife, Jackie. It's Tom Emmer, right? Look at you. You have a great wife, but you haven't been tested like these guys. You haven't. We don't want to test her, right? She's incredible. She's a strong, beautiful, great person. She's a great person. She actually liked me at the beginning when we were having little fights. We weren't even having fights. We just didn't know each other. We didn't know each other. And I heard he said something negative about me. He was sort of right about the subject, but you're not supposed to say ever, even though you're right. But Jackie was saying, I'm telling you, he's a great guy. He's good. He's going to be a great president, blah, blah, blah. She was fighting for me. And now I love this guy. He's great. She was right about both of us, I think, right? But Tom has been incredible. He's incredible at what he does. And he's a great team player. Your conference chair, Lisa McLean, is so strong and powerful. And
all right,
beautiful.
Let's take a moment to step on out of this Thank one you, because it got a little weird in the room. Got a little weird. Obviously, he is talking about Thomas Massie in the first part, and I have to say Massie is a patriot, whether you agree with him or not. The man just follows what his moral compass is, so there's that. But he started off by saying that he endorses Speaker Mike Johnson. What has Mike Johnson done to earn an endorsement? What has he done to laminate your executive orders would be my follow-up question. What was your favorite thing that he's done thus far? Saying that, you know, Johnson's tough, but he can't be too tough because they don't really have a majority. Well, that would also be Johnson's fault. It's his job to fundraise and to get these folks elected. So there's that. There's that. We'll keep our ear to it, though. Of course, if anything happens, we will bring it straight to you because that's what we do over here. But I want to switch gears. Let's focus on some positive things. Let's not blackpill everyone. Let's talk about the good that's going on right now. All right. Maha, you just got a massive victory yesterday, and it is worth celebrating because President Trump came out and he pushed forward his new, for HHS, the new childhood vaccine schedule. President Trump saying America will no longer require 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy children. We're moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious and dangerous diseases. And also as the parents are still obviously going to be able to choose. Their kids want all the vaccines in the world. You can have them all. But he has since updated that childhood vaccine schedule, and now it's only recommending 11. Now, if you're wondering what has been pulled off, this is just a quick overview. COVID, influenza, Hep A, Hep B, the birth dose, and others, of course, because it's a lot. It's a lot. So this is a massive, massive win. President Trump obviously celebrating because, again, this is what they do in Europe. We just keep poking American kids with jabs. And they go, well, we don't know why the number of autism is rising, but don't you dare question our vaccines. So this is a good thing. This is a very, very good thing for the Trump administration, for RFK Jr., because this was one of his main focuses, was to crunch down on just that. So that is incredible news to hear. Again, they're not anti-vax, they're anti-ridiculous vax. I'll coin that one, why not? And it wasn't just that victory that Maha got yesterday. As many of you guys know, Thomas Massey actually called it out. The great congressman Thomas Massey from Kentucky called it out because the House, their appropriation bill, brought forward something called Section 453. And in that section, it was going to provide immunity towards the companies that create these pesticides. Well, guess what? Those liability shields are no longer. Because in the revised version of the House Appropriations Bill for fiscal year 2026, that's been tossed out. So again, great news. Great news on that front. And we're excited that it's a victory that Maha gets to enjoy because this was something that was fought. But again, you got to keep your eye out for these sneaky little lobbyists who love putting these garbage things into bills, hoping that you're not paying attention. That's exactly what happened here. So great news for those who have fought long and hard for that. That is a small win, but a good one, and it's worth your attention. All right, guys, yesterday we talked about, it was interesting, the individual who had gone up to Vice President J.D. Vance's Cincinnati, Ohio home. William D. Four is the individual who has since been arrested. Now, this individual is someone who was accused of smashing several windows at the VP's house. Well, apparently he is a tranny. He identifies as a female, and his father is a Democrat donor. That's according to a report. He identifies as a tranny. Like I said, his father apparently is a surgeon who has donated to Dems. Daily Mail is the one that broke that story yesterday. Probably just perp dump on all the hormones. If you look at his Instagram page, he says that she is a she, her. Yeah, and I'm an elephant. No, I'd probably be a zebra. I got to pick. They're a little cooler looking. But apparently I'm going to pick things. I'm going to make things up. And that's exactly what happened. So, of course, this individual who's probably not in the best state of mind because they are perped up on a ton of hormones that don't belong in their body. Well, they have now been arrested for trying to, we don't know if they were trying to break in to J.D. Vance's home, what the whole goal of all of this was. But again, another individual who, another trans individual who has alleged to have committed another crime against conservatives. Go figure. Go figure. We're told that there's not a theme here. And I don't even know if our federal government's capturing all the crimes that are committed by trannies in this country right now. It's probably worth looking into. Probably. Some might say. I do know, though, again, if you want to bring it back to Maha, I do know that RFK Jr. is studying to see what the hormones are actually doing to individuals who are taking them. This is something that he's very passionate about, obviously, because he knows that this can't be good. But when it comes to the crime stats, I'd like to see us authentically report on these crime stats, because if they are trannies, we should know just that. Because I'm sitting back and watching violent crimes being committed by biological men who are pretending to be women, and they're trying to boost our numbers. Violent, heinous crimes, murder, sexual assault. They're trying to pretend like women do these types of crimes. Yes, of course, there are those rare occasions when women do commit these types of violent crimes. But the ultimate majority of females, they are not out there committing these heinous crimes. And then, of course, liberals put them in female prisons, which we all know what happens there. And it's horrifying. But again, liberal empathy means that they are empathetic towards the actual suspects of crimes, the actual criminals, rather than the victims. It's like suicidal empathy, except it doesn't affect them because they are the elitists. They are the elitists. We'll dive into a couple of other stories, too, in just a bit. Nick Sorter joining us. He was just on the ground in Minnesota. He's still there, I think, actually. Probably join the show in a moment. Don't go anywhere. Buckle up. We got more to discuss in a minute. Head on over right now, though, to thealexjonesstore.com right now. An incredible sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. 47% off site-wide for a limited time. So drop what you're doing right now and head on over for the Patriot Day sale over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. More to come. Don't go anywhere.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support very humbly. Thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel any time, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10, you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. This links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power out and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off a TAC nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. People want to conquer us. You want war? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. Who want us to live in bondage? Who want to cut our children's penises off? You Satanist. I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. Ugh. My cells tell me I'm in a war. And to girt myself for it. And to guard myself for truth, because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot more to dive into. But let's kick things off by covering some more fraud. Why not? There's an abundance of fraud going out, allegedly going on all across the country. It's very important that we highlight just that. But actually, you know what? Let's kick it off by giving you an update, because Nick Sorter's on the ground right now And he's been doing some incredible work. He's probably Tim Walz's number one enemy right now. Oh, well, I guess it's a toss-up between Nick Shirley as well. But these Knicks can't seem to leave him alone, and they're not liking it. They're not liking it at all. But yesterday, DHS came out, and let's start there. DHS came out and said that there was a Hilton Hotel in Minnesota that was not allowing their agents to stay there. They, in fact, had reservations. They were canceled once they learned that these were agents working for DHS, and they canceled it. Now, interesting enough, and this is the part that I thought was jaw-dropping, this morning, Nick Sorter was on the ground, and he actually went up to that hotel and tried to see if it was still ongoing, because Hilton came out with comment. I reached out to them for comment as well. They came out and said, listen, this is a franchise. We spoke with the franchise owner, the property owner of that one. We are okay with DHS agents staying on our property, and we pretty much corrected them and told them the same. And everything's all good now. The issue's been fixed. Well, Nick Sorter decided to test the waters a little bit, and he went over there, and surprise, surprise, it wasn't all good. Take a listen to clip 15.
So we're not accepting people from immigration, ICE agents, DHS into our property. It's just the property management ownership.
Okay, yeah. I thought that changed today. Was that?
I just talked to my, the owner of the building, and he didn't say there has been any changes. So,
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's just policy, you know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's said. not your fault. Totally, yeah. Totally get that. So they actually said that was like, I mean, honestly, this is the most convenient location. So
right.
It's like, so they told you no, that there's no.
Yeah, no immigration.
Well, DHS isn't all.
Yeah.
Immigration. Okay. Okay. So even with the thing that they said earlier, where they mentioned that there was a statement that they put out, you know, saying that they accept everybody, and
I haven't been informed. I could call my owner right now if you want.
Yeah,
and ask him what.
That'd probably be good. Just trying to figure it out. So because it said somebody said, I didn't know it was this location, but Everpeak Hospitality, right?
I'm new here, okay. So I don't really know what's I'll just call him and
just to be clear, like I'm not trying to cause any problems. It's just
right,
like
okay,
it's
right.
10 oh, 11 o'clock now,
right,
so
yeah, you know, I get it, yeah, I'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so nobody's answering my calls right now.
Okay.
Because of the time, but.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is Everpeak though, and they said Everpeak Hospitality's moved swiftly to address this matter as it was inconsistent with our policy of being a welcoming place for all. We are in touch with the impacted guests to ensure they are accommodated without discriminating against any individuals or agencies, and apologize to those impacted. Kind of long. I don't know.
I'll step in on this because obviously Everpeak not being very, not being very welcoming of our DHS agents. Joining me now to discuss is Nick Sorter. He's had quite the eventful couple of days, and he's with us now to break down the very latest on the ground in Minnesota. And boy, Nick, you know, you're giving both the governor a tough time, obviously, just by simply going to his home and asking some questions, as well as his hotel that apparently refused to provide housing and a bed for our DHS agents who were just simply looking to get a good night rest. All of a sudden now Hilton coming out and just completely disassociating themselves with this hotel based on your report, because although they told the actual corporation they were good to go, it doesn't seem to be that way. What else are you learning?
Well, I mean, it was just, I had this gut feeling, right? Yeah. So this hotel is about a half hour away from, well, I won't say exactly which city I'm in right now, but about a half hour away from where I am. So I went ahead and drove down there. Just had this hunch that these people, you know, that you still weren't going to be able to get hotel rooms as an ICE agent down there. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to wear my Border Patrol hat. I did not identify myself as a federal law enforcement officer or anything. All I did was I wore my hat in there, and I asked for 10 rooms and asked for the government rate. And at that point, that's all that needed to be said for them to be, like, worried that, oh, my God, ICE is showing back up again. And that's pretty much the reaction that you saw here, that they, this was about 11 o'clock last night, and it was 8 hours earlier in the day when they released the statement saying, oh, we're sorry, kumbaya, you know, whatever. And I just wasn't buying it. The statement just, it sounded so disingenuous. So I just went ahead and tried it myself. I was fairly surprised that nobody else tried it, to be honest with you. Like, nobody actually went there and asked the question. They just, I don't know, tweeted about it. And I had Bill Ackman, I know was a large shareholder in Hilton. You know, he was all over X yesterday defending them and saying, oh, it's all under control now. Everything is good. You know, nothing to see here. And then when you have people, especially higher profile people, trying to brush it out of the way so quickly, it just didn't seem like the issue was actually solved. And that's clearly the case. And I haven't been to sleep yet, so I'm sorry about that.
But, Nick, I lied to our audience. I said, you know, he might wake up in time for his hit. So I told everyone that you slept. I tried to, but I saw you were still on Twitter and you were still posting. It's a big story, so I understand. And it's catching the attention of DHS as well.
How could you not? It took less than an hour for Hilton to fully step in and revoke the license of the franchisee down there. So at some point I'm going to have to head back down there and figure out, you know, is it open now? Like, what's going on? What does that mean? So they revoke the license. Is the place closed now?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. No, I'm curious what that means. And I'm sure, I'm not going to ask you where you're staying, but I'm just going to say you're probably not staying at a Hilton right now, given the fact that they're not very friendly with that hat on as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But okay, Nick, so it's not just the Hilton that you're getting on the bad side of these days. You're also getting the bad side of Tim Walz, and you just simply ask good questions and they don't seem to like that. You know, I've seen the videos of you outside of his home and, you know, you got questions. Obviously this fraud story blew up overnight in regards to Nick Shirley's reporting, and it's resulted in him announcing yesterday that he's not going to be running for re-election, which obviously was pretty obvious to anyone who was paying attention to the news cycle. He wasn't going to be able to get over this hurdle. But he's blaming a lot of people for what's unraveled in his state. And it's not the Somalians, though. Listen in to clip 14.
We've got conspiracy theorist right-wing YouTubers breaking into our daycares, demanding access to our children. We've got the President of the United States demonizing our Somali neighbors and wrongfully confiscating funds that Minnesotans rely on. It's disgusting and it's dangerous.
Those damn YouTubers and conspiracy theorists, they're really giving Minnesota a bad name. Not the Somalians who have allegedly committed fraud. Nick, your reaction to the governor's comments?
Well, I mean, obviously it was the us right-wing YouTubers or whatever that broke in and are stealing all of the patient or the client records from these daycare centers. You know, it's a real travesty. No money or anything being stolen, nothing of actual value, but plenty of records being stolen, apparently. I don't understand. Like, why would you make the people? It tells you a lot. Let me just say it this way. It tells you a lot when you're not attacking the people committing the fraud, you're attacking the people unveiling the fraud. And so what that should tell pretty much everybody is that Tim Walz is much more involved in this than anybody probably ever thought he was before. And now he's hoping to take some heat off of him by dropping out of the election. He thinks that maybe he won't be prosecuted and that maybe he'll be able to get Amy Klobuchar and like switch places with her because she'll end up becoming the governor and then she'll have to resign her Senate seat and then she can just appoint him to the Senate seat. So he doesn't even have to win the election until the next election comes up.
Yeah.
So yeah, he might just be placed in the Senate because this guy can't win. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, Nick, I think it's interesting because, you know, when we were going through the old, files, the old prosecutions that have done in, that have been done, and that doesn't even make any sense, that have carried out in Minnesota, we see that there was allegations that individuals who were being prosecuted, Somalians, were also accused of bringing bags of money to the jurors' homes. I believe it's $125,000 in cash and trying to bribe them. So I'm assuming, given the fact there's about 6 million people that live in this state, about 100,000 Somalians. And then we saw all of these politicians just,
it's gotta be more. Exactly. It's gotta be more. It's not 100,000. I know that's the official number, but so I sent Matt a clip. I don't know if he can load that up. And, because it's going to be, it's another video. It's a long form video. The first time that I've ever done a long form video. And it just shows what it's like going around. Just going to Walmart out here is an experience like no other, because it feels like a Walmart, not a foreign. You can't talk to the Walmart employees, Brianna. It's just, it's crazy. And they get mad if you talk to them. You know, I tried to shake hands with one of them and she got super offended because you're not allowed to touch women in Somalia. And I forgot about that part. Yeah, it's just, right. It's an odd place.
I trust me, I understand. And I'll talk about something else later that I had to deal with over the weekend. But we have the video. Let's roll that right now.
What do you think would happen if I were to go and visit Tim Walz? Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Have a good, oh, can't say. Got it. She can't touch me because she's a woman. Oh my God.
11 close. 11. Only 11.
Okay. I was just asking. Okay.
The info that I got was that you guys were setting up a tent. Not setting it.
We have giant pickle for him.
Yeah. In my tent that's going outside of Walz's house. That's exactly what we're doing.
That's bad. Okay, that's just like a little sample of it all, but this is really bad.
The hook in the game.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's a good hook. I mean, the reality of it is they're working at Walmart. Well, at least they're working. We could say that. That's cool. That's nice of them to be so kind to us and earn their money. But, you know, it makes for a really toxic culture when they sit here and they're not looking to coexist. They're looking to capture. And you know, we've played the videos on this show of their leaders, their community leaders going out there and saying that they've conquered certain parts of the state. And, you know, you don't use that word conquer unless you actually mean it. It's not something that rolls off the tongue unless you are trying to claim dominance over the area. So, yeah, this all kind of makes sense, Nick. What more can we expect from that video? Because I'm sure you got more dropping soon.
Well, I mean, so the one of the reasons that I ended up staying here, I was going to leave, okay? I was going to leave on, I believe, Sunday. Uh-huh. And, but the Walz residents kept calling the police on me. So I'm like, okay, you know, F all of you people. I am now staying here. And I did. And I hung out outside the house, you know, waiting for him to, announce that he wasn't going to be running for, cause we pretty much knew the night before that he was going to make that announcement. I mean, it was that bad. The guy was just, there was no way for him to get back up after this entire situation. Honestly, he didn't really have a good chance to begin with. Yeah. And this was just the death knell for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we look forward to keeping our eye on all things Minnesota because I think it's going to get worse. Oh, and by the way, you know, we heard from President Trump earlier today announced that California is next on the list, that they're actually going to begin an investigation into them. What's your reaction to that? Because that's obviously a big one. Given, I mean, all they had to do is start off with like the homeless funds that have magically dissipated, and there's no numbers that prove that the billions of dollars that have poured into for that have actually done anything successful for the state of Minnesota or California.
Yeah, and I mean, like President Trump keeps saying, the numbers out in California make this look like peanuts out here, right? And they've gotten away with it for so long. All you have to do is keep looking at that viaduct, the bridge, the one bridge that they have built for $20 billion in that high-speed rail project that President Trump, thank God, finally pulled the plug on. No more federal funding for that. Which is a thing that really pisses off Gavin Newsom, but start there. The fact that, I mean, tens of billions of dollars spent and almost nothing at all to show for it, that should be a fairly easy one. And these people, because they've gotten away with it for so long, they get sloppy, right? Mm-hmm. Is they can just start pulling more money from here, skim more off the top here. If there is an actual, you know, federal investigation, where they're digging deep, I'm sure that the amount of fraud out there is absolutely staggering. Mm-hmm. And in places like San Francisco with those homeless programs and stuff out there, because the more money they give to these homeless programs, the worse the homeless population gets. So where does it go?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an individual on the ground in Portland. We have him on the show quite often. And he goes around asking homeless people if they've received any outreach. And the answer is constantly no. And they're spending, I think, north of $500 million a year to try to alleviate homelessness in their city. And obviously the spending keeps ballooning. And the numbers, though, the people who are supposed to be helped with these funds, it's just not going there. So it's no surprise. This would be a good area for the president to crunch down on as well. Nick Sorter doing incredible work on the ground. Greatly appreciate your time as always. So thank you for joining us. And you do a great job, too, here on InfoWars every Sunday. You host the show. So make sure everyone tunes in for that. Nick, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Get some sleep, Nick. Get some sleep. I'll stop.
I'm going to take a coma right now. That's what I'm hitting the leave button and I'm going to bed.
Put your phone on do not disturb. So we all leave you alone for now. Nick, thank you. We appreciate your time as always. All right, folks, we got more to discuss. We got more to dive into. Let's just bring it back to Venezuela. Why not? Why not? I got more under my scope that I've been looking into in regards to Venezuela. Again, like I'm trying to be a little reserved. And not take a strong take on this one because I think there's a lot that we don't know in regards to Venezuela. But I could sit there and say that I am proud of our military for the job that they did because they were able to execute it without losing anyone. And I think that is absolutely amazing. In clip 16, we're going to play this for you in a second. The Department of War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, well, he outlined what it was like for those a part of the Delta Force to make way into Maduro's safe home and what it was like when they finally confronted both Maduro and his wife. Take a listen.
Nicolas Maduro got to meet some great Americans wearing night vision goggles 3 nights ago. He didn't know they were coming until 3 minutes before they arrived. In fact, his wife said, I think I hear aircraft outside. They didn't know. You know why? Because every single part of that chain did their job. And they did it flawlessly.
They did it flawlessly. Folks, he's got that all right, all good. I have to say they did do it flawlessly. I'm just still, again, waiting for the numbers to figure out how many individuals were injured in all of this. But you have to be proud of our military for the job that they did. Regardless of how you feel about it, this definitely sets a tone for all of our adversaries to know that President Trump, he means good on the threats he makes. These aren't just empty threats. Remember when Joe Biden said to Russia, don't. And they did. And then nothing happened there. It was an absolute embarrassment of a regime. I always say regime because they're not an administration. And, we all had to sit back and just in such embarrassment pretend like this was the individual leading the country. We all knew that it wasn't. It was a deep state operatives. Again, no one arrested in that as of yet. But Democrats really can't find a thing to be angry about when it comes to Venezuela. And again, Venezuelans are not upset with the United States. They're not. They tried doing this themselves, and they were mowed over by military tanks. That was roughly, what, 6-7 years ago? So again, this is a big issue. This is a massive, massive issue. And it's very complex, and we dove into it yesterday, the obviously Russia-China angle to all of this. That's something that is likely the biggest motivator behind what you saw unravel. And I've been telling you since day one, I don't think it's the fentanyl. It didn't make sense because they don't even account for like 10% of the fentanyl is brought into this country. Although 1% is too high, it still didn't make sense for why the president was so hyper-focused on Venezuela. And obviously the port was something that was obviously a high priority. But there's a lot of elements to this. The natural resources, the oil, I get that. Yes, I don't think that was out of their minds when they were thinking about what to do next. But members of Congress, Democrats, are really pushing for a reason to be angry. And in clip 17, you're going to hear from Speaker Johnson because he is debunking those Dems who are going on cable news shows trying to pretend like the President of the United States has to ask for permission to execute an arrest warrant in a foreign country. Take a listen.
We are not at war. We do not have U.S. armed forces in Venezuela, and we are not occupying that country. The Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war. That is true. But it also vests the President of the United States with vast authorities as Commander-in-Chief. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, the President has the authority, as all presidents do, to deploy military forces to address threats to the U.S. and to enforce U.S. law. That is what happened here. The War Powers Act states that notification should be made to Congress within 48 hours following the initiation of hostilities. as we've noted, and I've made many public comments, that happened almost instantaneously here. My first call was at 4 a.m. by Secretary of State Rubio. Despite the claims by some of my colleagues, under the War Powers Act, there is no requirement for prior congressional approval or prior notification. And in fact, in this case, the intelligence was so sensitive, the conditions had to be perfect. There was no predetermination of when exactly it would occur. And if there had been prior notice, even assembling the Gang of Eight, for example, during the December holiday, it would have set off alerts and very likely might have been a leaked situation, which could have caused great damage to our forces, our troops there.
All right. I don't think he has to really explain. We know that if he would have put them on alert, Democrats would have ratted them out, would have put U.S. service members at risk. And again, I'm not trying to side and say I agree with one side over the other. I'm still waiting for all the information to make its way to the surface before I come to an opinion on this front. But I'm going to tell you that you cannot trust Democrats if you're going to do something like this. You can't tell them. Can't tell them. Because they want to see the Trump administration fail, and they will do just that. By the way, folks, imagine if the service members who were all involved in Venezuela that day, imagine if one of them listened to Mark Kelly and said, well, what about international law, and decided to just completely abandon the orders that were given to them by the President of the United States. Again, that was Democrats. That was their attempt to derail anything that might happen in the future. So you can't trust them. They tried their very best. They laid out the groundwork to go about doing just that. And if Mark Kelly would have carried through on that, which we all know, and again, we beat Fox to it yesterday on this show. This is why you guys watch us. As well, Fox is claiming that they exclusively obtained the information regarding Mark Kelly's penalties from the Pentagon. They're lying. Your girl got it first, and we broke it for you on this show. But again, we're going to keep drilling this point home. And the facts are that you can't trust Democrats, regardless of what it is. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. The president in his first term had a leaking issue. And now, miraculously, in the second term, we're not seeing any leaks in regards to Iran. The strikes, none of us knew about that. And we also didn't see any leaks regarding Venezuela. You think that's coincidental? Or you think he just cut out all the trash? Yeah, probably that. Probably that. All right, folks, we're getting ready to head into the third hour of the show. And again, this one is going to be exclusive. You won't see anywhere else. I see Senator Rand Paul's office just dropped the documents. But if you follow me on X, you got it first. We just got our hands on documents that were handed over by the FBI, TSA, DOJ. All of these documents were shifted over to Senator Rand Paul's office. And ultimately, they're just trying to figure out how one woman who didn't even go into the Capitol, how she ended up on a terror watch list. Now, the crazy part about this is she found out she was on the terror watch list because her husband, get this, her husband is a U.S. Air Marshal. So one day he's at work and he gets a fax. And he looks over because it's about a domestic terrorist who's been added to the list. And to his shock, it was his wife, who didn't go anywhere near the Capitol on January 6th, but she did watch President Trump speak. But that's all she needed was just that, and they quickly threw her on the terror watch list. Now, it's much more extensive than that because it has to do with a friend at the time, former friend, who called the FBI, put her on their radar through a tip. Now, that friend is deceased now. She sadly took her own life. But that friend wrongfully ID'd the woman we have coming on the show in just a moment. Christine Crowder will be joining us in studio to dive into these documents with us because this is the first time I've seen anything like this. Again, I had to sue TSA, didn't get it because they claim national security, but we've got documents now showing us how this all went about, how this all happened behind the scenes, and we'll bring it to you in just a few moments. It's the fifth anniversary of J6. We got a lot more to dive into. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have an incredible sale happening right now, 47% off site-wide. Patriot Day sale over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
So we're excited that you guys are jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. We're breaking exclusives, stuff you're not going to see anywhere else, because everyone else in the mainstream media is a bunch of cowards and they're too afraid to talk about the truth. But we've got dozens of pages of documents regarding the FBI, DOJ, and TSA, illegally spying on Americans, putting them on terror watch lists. One prosecutor, which is the craziest thing, I got my hands on this email. And I don't know how he's not fired yet. Kenneth Corder, according to his LinkedIn page, he is still over at the DOJ. Now, Kenneth Corder, as you see here on your screen, according to his email signature, was a senior counsel for Capitol Siege Section. Now, interesting enough, he's one who, without any actual evidence, decided to put a woman on his radar. She was about to be arrested, actually. She was put in the queue of misdemeanors because of, and literally he says that. This case will be placed in the misdemeanor assignment queue for future prosecution, a future date, whenever they're ready to do this. They had no evidence. They actually used an image of a woman who, it wasn't Christine Crowder. You see, and the reason why we know it's not Christine Crowder, and again, she's going to be here in just a second. She's coming to our studio right now to talk to us. The reason why we know it's not Crowder, who's in this image that you see here on your screen, is because you're going to see a woman who's lifting up her left arm and waving. Now, if you're wondering why I'm bringing you to this picture, that's because, sadly, Christine Crowder cannot lift up her left arm. After, I believe, when she was pregnant and 26 years old, she sadly was, she lost movement. And so she's unable to make that motion that you saw there on your screen. You would think the FBI would have known that if they would have actually stopped to speak to her, get to know her. Now, they surveilled her home four times. They actually sent agents outside of her home to watch her. Her husband, by the way, is a U.S. Air Marshal. That's how they found out that she was added to a domestic terrorist list. He's one day at work minding his business and then randomly sees that his wife is being flagged as a terrorist. Obviously, as somebody who's a high security level, you'd be a little worried about that. You have a domestic terrorist sleeping in your home. But obviously, she wasn't anywhere near the Capitol that day. Didn't matter, though. They still put her on that list. They still moved her into the file to be charged eventually. And thank God she wasn't charged. She wasn't charged, by the way, because Sonia Labasco actually went on Kyle Serafin's show. And they did a whole discussion about it after her husband found out that she was flagged as a domestic terrorist. And lo and behold, the FBI, who watches the Kyle Serafin show, their fans, I hear, decided to go into her house and interview her to see if they got it right. And they learned they got it very, very wrong, according to their own words. She had documents that proved that she was actually in a Lyft ride going somewhere else at the time. She had the receipts. All I need to do is ask her. So she's joining us in studio to react to all of this because she's one of the few people who I've ever seen get all of this information. And again, wasn't anywhere near the Capitol. You have a legal right, your First Amendment right. You could attend a rally if you want to. It was a permitted protest. The president was speaking, and so she had every right to be there. But not under the Biden regime. No, no, no. The Biden regime will buckle down, throw you in prison, arrest you, do whatever they have to do. They didn't even care that this wasn't the woman. They didn't even care that her outfit didn't match that day. They didn't even care that they didn't have any evidence, any geographical evidence that backed her into this position where she was somehow in the Capitol. They didn't care. They didn't care. They still put her in a folder with others and were going to arrest her if it wasn't for the Kyle Serafin show. So keep that in mind, folks. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a regime that was very, very evil and still zero arrests. I was told, though, that I got to stop talking about that. Can't talk about that. There are things happening behind the scenes, I was told, but I don't know what that means. These people still have jobs over at the FBI, DOJ, TSA. Why is that? Serious question that's worth answering. All right, we got more to dive into in just a minute. Again, that exclusive dropping probably in about 25 minutes. So you're going to buckle up. We also have more stories to dive into, and I'll be running down the list. There's a lot more to catch you up on. So don't go anywhere. More American Journal on the way. Stay tuned.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation, thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel any time, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10 if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. Then you get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. This links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
Into the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. As you all join us in the third hour of the show, I want to remind you that we're going to have an exclusive interview for you in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. A lot to expose. I also just got an email from Texas AG Ken Paxton's office, the AG's office, coming out with a good little win over here. The AG has secured a major victory by stopping Samsung from using its smart TVs to illegally spy on Texans. That just secured by the AG, put out a statement in regards to that. Samsung is just one of the five TV companies that were found to have been collecting your personal data. And they're not supposed to be doing that. There's laws in place in Texas that prohibit them from doing just that. So Paxton now says that there's a temporary restraining order in regards to that. And that announcement just dropping from the AG's office. So that's good news. That's very good news for the Texas AG. Again, guys, like name another Texas AG that's even close. That's even close. There's no one as close as Ken Paxton. So he's doing an incredible job. And it sucks that he is very likely going to be heading to the U.S. Senate. And I want him to win. I do. But we need a fighter here in Texas. And the rest of them, well, they're not quite the fighters that we need so desperately. So desperately. Aaron Wright, though, is probably the only person I would say is very close to Mr. Paxton. We've had him here in studio. He's not a coward. He comes on this network and he speaks the truth. Just wait for the polling information that comes in. He gets you a take before he gets the polling data. That's just how he feels. He's not a politician. So hopefully he could be the next AG of Texas as Ken Paxton moves on from all of us. I don't like John Cornyn either, so this is a good thing still. All right, let's switch up gears a little bit. Let's talk about Seattle, because Seattle, well, things aren't going well. There was a report over the weekends that the new mayor, Katie Wilson, well, that she was going to stop law enforcement, the Seattle PD, from going after those who were using drugs. She wanted them to stop arresting them. Okay. Now she's denying that, claiming that's not the case, but I remember seeing the union commenting about that, and I thought it was quite strange that now she's denying it all together. I don't think these people pulled it out of their behinds. It obviously had to have some substance. But in clip 8, She's laughing off her latest critic because obviously, folks, these Soros-funded lefties, well, there's one word for them that they hate to be called, and they pretend like it's not where they truly stand in life. That's that they hate being called communists. Well, Mayor Wilson is upset, and she tries to laugh it off, but President Trump called her out for it. Take a listen to clip 8.
I had the honor of being noticed by the President of the United States. Who called me a very, very liberal slash communist mayor. It's nice to feel seen. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine being the buffoons behind her, clapping your hands like a bunch of seals at the idea that she's probably a communist. Yeah, I don't understand why they sit here and think this is a laughing matter. We have communists who have infiltrated the federal government, the local governments all across the country, and they are taking full swing at all of this. So, again, this isn't something to laugh off. I know that laughing is their way of playing this down a little bit, downplaying all of it. But again, this is serious. We have a communist takeover that's going on here in the homeland. While we're sitting there going and arresting other communists in other countries, we probably should be focused here. I guess Republicans, and this is probably why you're not seeing a massive movement here on this front, they just think, like, if it gets really bad on the left, that that's going to pivot people to vote for conservatives, Republicans, and such. But I don't want to see communists make their way to power. In fact, we used to have a federal government that handled that issue. I'll leave it there. But I don't understand why we're going to sit here and pretend like this is okay, like this should be happening. We have laws in place to prevent these people from getting into power. And sadly, I think the Republican stance on all of this is let's see how bad things get. Then we could run off that. That's our platform moving forward. That's garbage, though. That's garbage. And that shouldn't be what's taking place here. Let's pivot a bit. Let's talk a little bit more about the fraud, because HHS has announced as of yesterday that they are rescinding the Biden-era rules that allowed states to pay child care providers based on enrollment rather than verified attendance. Wow. What a commitment. What a commitment. You have to prove that there's actually kids there. We just can't take your word for it. Now, obviously, again, this is a policy that was criticized for allowing potential fraud and abuse. Couldn't imagine that happening. I think it was Michael Byrd's wife. She's being accused now. This was a rumor I saw floating online. But apparently she's being accused of also running a daycare center. Again, it doesn't mean that it's fraud. I just thought that was an interesting post, given all the controversy. Everyone owns a daycare center. You know, I probably could be living the American dream if I was the owner of several daycare centers across Texas. Ah. So we'll see. Could be just a social media rumor, so bear with me. Don't want to go there on that one, but we could just say that there was a social media rumor floating around that that was the case. Might be worth looking into, though. Yeah, but seriously, though, folks, it's pretty disgusting that we've shuffled billions of dollars to these daycare centers, and some of them might not even be legit. I mean, how easy would it have been if they just took in the kids and racked in the cash? I mean, they were paid so much money, so much money. This means more than $19.3 billion in federal funds may have been shipped around for the last 20 months without any verification. What if we would have taken that $19.3 billion and paid moms to stay at home with their kids and raise their kids themselves? You see, this is the part that really, really gets me upset, because I have loved ones who are starting families and they are trying their best to keep jobs because they can't afford to sit at home and raise their own children. So they have to shuffle their kids into daycare. The majority of their paycheck goes to cover the expense of daycare. And then they're slaving away for other jobs. Imagine if we would have taken that $19.3 billion and given it to mothers and encouraged them to stay at home and raise their own children. I know it's a thought, it's probably crazy. Much easier to verify, by the way, because you'd have a social security number to match up with these mothers. But again, I'm just a crazy fringe right-wing conspiracy theorist. I'll take my advice on anything. Don't you just that. All right, interesting. Another kind of win. A U.S. district judge refused to dismiss the remaining criminal charge against woman, you may remember her, Congresswoman LaMonica McIver. Sorry, I'm blind. As you get older, everything, the font just gets smaller. Here I am, size 15. Not enough. Okay, so according to the report, she was looking to get one of her final charges dismissed. If you remember, she was the one in that New Jersey ICE facility outside who was causing quite the ruckus, chaotic scene. She got into a bit of a scruffle with ICE, and she wanted to, you know, I'll just accuse her of this. It's just my personal opinion. She wanted the very dramatic video of her getting into a scruffle outside of an ICE facility and being abused by an ICE agent when she was the aggressor in all of this. What happened there, though, thankfully DHS did move caller out on this, and the DOJ did prosecute her. Now, multiple charges have been dropped. I think this is the last one that's still sticking. This is a part of her pretrial efforts to get that final charge dismissed. And again, the same judge, though, apparently did drop the two other counts, though, prior to all of this. So it's really quite messy. She still has a charge, though, that's sticking, which is good news, But again, it's not enough. It's never going to be enough. You know, when you sit here and you do this political theatrical scene outside of an ICE facility and you assault ICE agents, you should be rounded up and taken to prison. There was no reason for this. There's peaceful protests, which we all can support. Yes, it is your right to peacefully protest, but this was everything but. And I know her, one of her defenses was, oh, well, I was trying to, this was an act of Congress. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You were trying to see if you were going to get away with this. And you didn't. That's the good news there. But it's only one charge. But they tried. They tried. I feel like that's what it is these days. The DOJ is at least trying to stick some charges on people. I wouldn't say they're high up on my top priorities list. I wouldn't even call them deep state operatives. I would just say that these are people who are like the lowest hanging fruit on the tree. And so they're going after them. And speaking of that, there was another Democrat who was recently just indicted. She's actually a former Georgia State Representative Karen Bennett. This woman apparently has been charged, federal indictment, one count of false statements in connection with fraudulently obtaining nearly $14,000 in COVID funds for unemployment relief. Only $14,000. These are the allegations that are currently being made by the DOJ. Obviously, we don't know if she's guilty or not guilty. She has not yet, I believe, pleaded out in court. I'm sure that date's coming. But again, another Democrat. Surprise, surprise. Now, I don't think it's exclusively Democrats. There are probably some shady Republicans, and we'll keep our eyes on that. But it's good to see. Now, this is the second Georgia state official who has recently been indicted on charges related to fraud. No surprise there. No surprise whatsoever. All right, let's get the good news rolling. Why not? The Corporation for the Public Broadcasting has just announced that their board has voted to dissolve them. That's after nearly 58 years. So this is because they were defunded. Many of you guys know, once it was exposed that all these people are just taking your taxpayer dollars and using it to push forward the left-wing agenda through the media, it was all right. It was RIP time. Well, they were defunded, and now they are going away, it looks like. Now, whenever I get the opportunity to play a clip from Senator John Kennedy, I actually usually just take it. And anytime I see he's doing a hit, I always just, if it's muted, I always unmute because I want to see what he has to say. He's always got these little funny one-liners that he slips in there. And they don't actually make any sense sometimes, but they're just funny because he's so quick on his toes. All right. So he did speak out in regards to how your taxpayer money was being used to shift over to NPR and PBS. And in clip 9, he enlightened the American people on what trash the Corporation for Public Broadcasting actually is. Take a listen.
I want to give you a few examples of stories that NPR has published using taxpayer money. I'll just read the headlines. First headline, NPR News Service. Michael Avenatti, quote, a profile of the media savvy attorney. They love Michael Avenatti. You know where Michael Avenatti is today? He's in jail. You know why? He's a crook. But for a while, he was a media darling on NPR. Here's another headline from NPR. How racism became a marketing tool for country music. I kid you not. The American taxpayers are spending $500 million a year to pay a local station to buy content that says country music is racist. Here's another headline from NPR. Donald Trump's long embrace of Vladimir Putin. Remember the Russiagate? The Steele dossier? NPR was right in there promoting it.
Exactly. No surprise there, folks, as he outlines how bad it was, obviously. But good news is, adios, as they make their way out. This is why it's so important for groups like Doge. Because when you defund them, you're cutting off the propaganda from the left-wing hacks that are looking to push these messaging, this message at your expense, of course. At your expense. I thought it was a very interesting discussion that was had between Mike Cernovich, who I truly do appreciate, and Tucker Carlson the other day. I want to play clip 10 for you because both of them are talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And obviously, it is something that is just gut-wrenching that so many of us are just so upset about still to this day. But we all have more questions than answers. And Cernovich details just that in clip 10. Take a listen.
And that's why the Charlie Kirk thing really was a frustrating thing for me because, well, I mean, it was a tragic thing, you know, like frustrating. That sounds so like shallow. I just thought that people would realize they're hunting us for sport. All of us. Tucker, they're hunting you. If they could get Shapiro, they would get Shapiro. If they could get Walsh, they could get Walsh. If they could get Candace, they could get Candace. And it ain't the Israelis and it ain't the Jews that are doing it. It's a violent, feral, terrorist, you know, Bolshevik left. And they would get all of us if they could. So whatever acrimony we have, which is like, I'm not a unity guy. I'm a guy who likes, you know, likes the mix, maybe too much. But it's like, dude, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill all of us. And we need to figure out, some kind of way to coexist with one another, understanding that the threat against us is existential. And they would, the left, if they could kill Seth Dillon, they'd be glad to kill him. If they could kill you, they'd be glad to kill you. To them, that's just another notch on their belt or a point on the scoreboard.
So what's the administration doing about this?
That was my problem with the Trump's first term is, the political violence against Trump supporter, because again, we're just supposed to deal with it. Just deal with it. Was completely, almost completely ignored during his first term.
Is it still being ignored?
Under my definition, it is. Yeah, they're arresting some people. There's more happening than the first term, but the response is not what I would like to see.
So the claim when Charlie was murdered was that this was Antifa or some Antifa adjacent person or organization. I don't know if that's true. I don't know anything about it.
I think it's absolutely true.
I don't know that, but I don't have any other theories. I don't even understand the story, but if people said it was true, so like, okay, where's the roundup of Antifa?
So there,
sorry, you got a dog sneezing right there.
That's good. The good puppy. I think it was Tyler Robinson. I think a 22-year-old man on a mission is a very dangerous thing. And that I think that there were other people in those Discord servers and there were people tweeting something big is going to happen tomorrow. And after tomorrow, Charlie won't be around anymore. So I'm very frustrated that there doesn't seem to be much interest in maybe those people were just guessing or maybe they were trolling, but there doesn't seem to be much interest and finding out who those other people are.
Why do you think?
Well,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
I always go back to the Garland, Texas mass shooting, which is, to me, this is like the skeleton key of it all. So Pamela Geller, who's very much, pro-Israel, about as hardcore as you can be on the issue, did a Draw Muhammad contest. And there was going to be a bunch of other people also like very pro-Israel and, a jihadi was going to shoot the place up. The it was Texas, and he got taken out, but by accident of faith, or an accident of fate, a local law enforcement officer pulled over an FBI agent who was fleeing the scene, got the guy's phone and the text message to the jihadi said, tear up Texas. Sounds unbelievable. It's 100% true. Senator Grassley has asked for information twice from Ray and Garland. Has been stonewalled. I don't know why Cash Patel won't release it. I've asked everybody up as high up the food chain as you can get why we can't get it. And
what's the answer?
My belief is that there's that MKUltra never ended, COINTELPRO. MKUltra was, of course, the mind control experiments they conduct on people, where the book Chaos covered this in great detail for people who are curious about that.
About the Charles Manson murders.
The Manson murders, and then there was that Air Force guy who was drugged up and killed somebody, and that didn't even make sense, and I didn't even know about that. Well, that book was completely mind-blowing. And I do think they still have whatever arm of that is, whether that's within the FBI or some other dark site within the intelligence community. I'm certain that still exists.
Yeah. It was a very enlightening interview. And, you know, Mike Cernovich is one of the best that we have out there. He does his digging. He's been doing this for a while now. He's one of the originals. So, it's good to hear him out there. He's doing very limited media coverage. And I don't blame the guy. But whenever I see that there's a Cernovich clip, I always hit play, because whenever he's talking, I usually always learn something. And of course, it is always great to hear from him. All right. So we're keeping our eye on a lot of things. Like I told you guys, following a lot. So I actually didn't even pay it the respect that it deserves. MTG, yesterday was actually her final day in Congress. And, you know, feel how you feel about how she is right now. I know a lot of people aren't fans of her, but she was a massive J6 fighter. And I want to highlight that. Whenever I had an issue, her office was very quick on its feet to go look into it. There was only like three of these people, and it was her office was one of them. And we didn't have much in the way of fighters. Now, what am I talking about here? I'm specifically talking about the prison, the jail, the DC gulag. This was something that she was very passionate about. We didn't have a lot of fighters. We didn't have a lot of people advocating for these brave Americans, who some of them were wrongfully accused. And they didn't go there that day to commit violence. And they were there peacefully, but they were still held in jail. And she was an advocate. We cannot forget that great work that she did for them, regardless of how you feel about what she's doing now. So I think it's really sad that we lost Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. I do hope that she goes back to her core, which I think was great. Her political stance was great. But she is out there, and she is obviously doing a lot of corporate media hits. And we could play this real quick, but in clip six, this is how she spent her final day in Congress yesterday. She spent it yesterday on CNN talking about the Trump administration. Take a listen.
Do you think that Marco Rubio, Stephen Miller, Pete Hegseth, and J.D. Vance should be running Venezuela, as the president puts it?
I would like to see our elected president and vice president and his administration running America. I think that's most important for the American people and our interest. And we have real problems here at home. We're nearly $40 trillion in debt. They've done a great job stabilizing inflation that was record high under the Biden administration. They've done a wonderful job securing the border, and I love seeing the crime statistics go down. But I would like to see a continued focus on domestic policy that helps the American people. That's the country that they are supposed to be running, and I hope that the United States of America is the country they stay focused on running.
All right. Obviously, I understand her criticisms. But again, I mean, it's great to hear from MTG, upsetting that she's left. And, you know, remember all the great that she did. Remember all the great. You could disagree with her now, obviously, on her takes and her criticisms for the administration. But, and some of it's 100% correct. Some of it. So there is that. But I tried posting, and everyone was so negative and mean to her. So I took down the post, because I tagged her in, so I don't want her to see all the negativity that was circulating online. But I think that she's a patriot. She still loves this country, and I do hope we get her back into this fight some way, somehow, and back to her original core beliefs, because I was very, very proud of her and how bold she was to speak up on so many critical issues. So we do hope that she enjoys, and she's getting married. So we do hope that she enjoys her time out of Congress. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. An exclusive interview you won't see anywhere else happening in just a few moments. So stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you indulge in its 47% off sale. It's the Patriot Day sale going on right now. That means it's 47% off site-wide in honor of Patriot Day. So head on over to the shop and make sure you snag up before this deal ends. Only a few more hours left.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us today because we have an exclusive interview that you're not going to see anywhere else. As
Many of you guys know it's been 5 years since January 6, 2021, and it's obviously, it's been very disappointing to cover these stories and the lack of accountability on these federal agents who should be held accountable for what they did to so many January 6ers. So many Americans pulled up and attended a rally that they were legally permitted to attend. That is the key point in all of this. Now, so many of them, because obviously the Biden regime was in control, found themselves on the receiving end of a lot of harassment. And my next guest that we're going to talk to in just a minute, Christine Crowder, she's one of the individuals who didn't even go into the Capitol, wasn't even in or near the Capitol. Keep that in mind. But she was harassed for several years. The FBI launching an investigation based on a tip that was turned in by a friend. Now, we've got all of this outlined stage by stage, and the only reason why we have this, and you have to give credit where credit's due, because Senator Rand Paul's office has done an incredible job at digging into this. And I told you guys, I sued TSA and was trying to get my hands on documents like this to figure out how Americans ended up on terror watch lists. And in court, TSA just said, can't give it to you. Can't give it to you. It's a national security issue. But Crowder has gotten her hands on a lot thanks to Senator Rand Paul's office, and they just released it all to the public this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. And we've received responses from DHS, Kristi Noem's office responding to me, as well as the FBI director, Kash Patel, responding to Rand Paul's office. And everyone knows what happened here is completely wrong, but you need to understand what specifically happened to Crowder. Now, again, all she did was arrive in D.C., and she went to see President Trump speak. Now, obviously, it was a very chaotic situation, and she got lost in the crowd. Her friends that she originally went with got lost, and she was trying to figure it all out. There was no signal that day. It was very chaotic. And so she just went and left. But, sadly, one of her friends, her former friend, called the FBI because she believed that she had saw Crowder on footage. And she called and brought this tip to the FBI. Now, the FBI never made a positive match. Technically, they never made a positive match, but they still opened an investigation anyway and pretended like it was Crowder inside the Capitol. But it wasn't her. It wasn't her. And there's several different elements on how we know that it wasn't her. Now, based on the documents, and we're going to show you this picture, because this picture is one that's worth your attention, because this would have quickly proven that Christine Crowder was innocent. On page 11 that we've now brought in, you could see that the woman who is inside the Capitol is lifting up her left hand and she's waving to the crowd outside the Capitol. That's what it looks like, or she's waving to someone. Now, if you're wondering why I wanted to bring your attention to it, this is why. Crowder has not been able to, for several years, since she was 26 years old, have movement, she hasn't been able to lift that left arm. And so if the FBI actually did its work, they would have realized that this can't be her. Now, there's many other indicators. It's not her outfit that she was wearing that day. We have the pictures. If you line them up side by side, you notice it's not her. But the FBI still continued on with their investigation without even having any geofencing to prove that it was her that day in the Capitol. Now, thanks to the incredible, and you know, I love her. She's a great friend of mine. Sonia Labosco has done an incredible job at exposing the innocent Americans that were added to this terror watch list, because she is one of the reps for air marshals all across the country. Well, when this was put on her radar by Crowder's husband, well, guess why? First off, her husband is a U.S. air marshal, and so he was added. Well, he saw, I guess we should say, he saw that his wife was flagged as a domestic terrorist, which is so insane when you think about that. You're just at work one day, and you find out that your wife is at home. Is a domestic terrorist, according to our federal government? Well, obviously, that wasn't the case. So through this FBI investigation, which was obviously never should have happened in the first place, it shifted over to her getting added to a terror watch list over at TSA. I believe it was the Silent Partners, one of the many watch lists that they had. And they surveilled her. They put her through hell at the airports. They assigned air marshals to follow her. And this didn't just go away after her husband flagged it for the agency that they knew that she wasn't even at the Capitol that day. This went on for quite some time. And sadly, it only ended really after Sonia Labosco went on Kyle Serafin's show. Well, actually, it didn't even end on there, but the FBI's angle to all of this ended there. She went on Kyle Serafin's show and called it out and was just very honest and direct about what happened. Now, the FBI watches Kyle Serafin's show, and then the very next day, I'm told, ended up going to Christine Crowder's home and interviewing her. And we have that interview. They were quickly able to just go, not our girl.
not our girl. But it was already too late because the DOJ, who, oh, this is infuriating because when we talk about accountability, everyone who is attached to this should have been held accountable. But an individual who is apparently the senior counsel over at the Capitol Siege section, well, his name, Kenneth Corder, he sent out an email to add Crowder to this folder that they were apparently building up, this queue for potential future misdemeanor assignments. So they were going to charge her with a misdemeanor offense. And this prosecutor had sent in an email to move her over to it. Now, I looked up this individual's LinkedIn page, and according to his LinkedIn, he still works for the DOJ, which is absolutely horrifying. Joining me now to discuss all things related to this unlawful, unconstitutional persecution. I mean, Christina Crowder is here in studio right now exclusively to detail everything that we're kind of uncovering. And I want to just say, first off, I'm sorry you went through this in the first place.
Thank you.
I am so happy, though, that you've gotten your hands on these documents thanks to the senator's office.
Right.
They've done a great job.
Amazing. I don't know what I would have done. It never would have ended.
Yeah, it would have never. And that's the point in all of this. You know, the FBI realizing after a very long time that, all right, you're not the person who is in the Capitol footage videos.
Right.
But they did a very detailed report, and we have the pages of this agent who drafted up this criminal complaint, it looks like, potential criminal complaint. And they're trying to say that this is you in these images. It's hard to see. They have no geofencing.
Right.
So they have no actual proof that this is you, but they're still pushing this forward as if it's legitimate.
Right.
When you saw these documents, what's your first reaction?
I was shocked. We always wondered how I got on the list. Mm-hmm. I was at January 6th with several people. I flew in on the 4th and toured D.C. on the 5th and left on the 7th. So we assumed that someone, they... TSA or somebody gave anyone's flight information that was in the Capitol was put on the list. Because a friend of mine believed she was on the list, but we could never prove that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally floored when Senator Paul's office texted me and said, have you seen your FBI profile? Like, what? Why would I've never done anything wrong in my life.
No.
And I was shocked when I saw that. And, of course, I have no recourse because the woman who reported me, who was a former friend, sadly killed herself. So I have no recourse whatsoever, and I have no idea. She said she saw my pictures on Facebook that I was in D.C., and she said she happened to be watching the news and saw someone coming out of the Capitol and was convinced that it was me.
Okay.
And she met with the FBI two times.
That's so crazy.
It was just insane.
Yeah, and when we look at these images, too, and again, this is all being... we now have some insight into all of this, and probably the reason why you didn't receive an FBI file, a profile on you, is because you were never charged, because after they interviewed you, and you were very nice for speaking to the agents, because I probably would have been so angry that they had the audacity to come into your home and try to have a conversation with you on this, because you had nothing to do with this day, but you were very kind to them, and you spoke to them, and you handed over the receipts to prove that you weren't in the Capitol.
Yeah, because I was at least half a mile away.
Yeah.
And I had timestamp pictures that we told that my husband tried to show at work and to his superiors that, listen, she was not there. I have timestamp photos of her lift receipts and her taking pictures outside where she was. And you could see, look, she was not there. And the times didn't even match. And no one wanted to listen. Everyone just said, let this play out. And my husband's like, that's my wife.
Exactly.
I have a top security clearance, and my wife is a domestic terrorist, which is just an awful oxymoron. I mean, it's sad that this is what happens in our government.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm so proud of your husband for sticking up for you, by the way.
Right, I know.
Yeah, that's impressive,
right,
though.
I know. He risked a lot to do that, to become a whistleblower, so I'm very proud of him.
Proud of him, and he actually testified, too.
He testified.
We carried it on this show.
Oh,
we watched it live, and it was incredible.
It was amazing. First of all, I think one Democrat showed up. It was supposed to be like six Republicans and six Democrats. And after Ron Paul presented, and I had everyone presented their evidence, no one else came in. Like the one that was there left, because there was no defense. There was nothing she could say to my husband or to anyone on the panel to say it's okay what the government did to me.
Yeah.
And two senators, Senator Moreno and Senator Josh Hawley, they were actually horrified, and they could not believe, they actually apologized to me. They're like, I cannot believe my government did this to you. I am so sorry.
And I don't think a lot of people understand how bad this list was because, you know, Sonia Lobosco does an incredible job, and she's been trying for over a decade now, going out there and trying to blow the whistle.
Right.
And it's been infuriating because she only was able to get a lot of momentum now that there's been a shift over in administration. Right. And it's not even just her, too. It's David Londo as well. I should give credit to them. Both of them have been a power.
They're both wonderful.
Yeah. They've done an incredible job at doing
really have.
That. And you've been working with them for quite some time now. They're trying to help you out. Right. How's that? What's that been like?
They've been wonderful. We went to D.C. I went with my husband to testify. And I hadn't met David before, but I didn't. Yeah. He is just wonderful. He's a patriot. And I believe mostly it was because the Biden administration was so vindictive. Mm-hmm. And if you like Trump or the guys the government portrayed us as right-wing terrorists or, you know, just horrible Nazis, I don't know, whatever, all the things they called us, that's what the Biden administration and everyone who worked for him believed.
Yeah.
Truly believed that. They almost dehumanized us, that we were nothing. And they could do whatever they want to us. And they did. Look at all the poor people that were in the gulags, in the jails. It's sad.
Yeah.
Their lives are ruined forever.
Well, that's the other problem here, right? Because the DOJ in one of those lawsuits is claiming sovereign immunity when it comes to constitutional right violations. And I really hope that doesn't stick because they're trying to get that dismissed. Because people like yourself, you deserve to get paid for this. I mean, there's no other way. I know you don't have a lawsuit pending right now, but that's...
We're hoping to find a firm to take on our claim. I mean, it's really like Judicial Watch because they took on Ashley Babbitt's case, and I don't compare myself to that at all. That poor woman sacrificed everything.
Yeah.
But they're very reliable, and they're great at what they do, so it would be wonderful if they could help us.
Judicial Watch is full of patriots. When I had an incident, too, they actually, without even telling me, they actually did a FOIA request with my local police station to let me know, and then they've reached out to me privately. They are a group of patriots.
They're wonderful people there.
They are, so it would be great to have them on your side. And you know, when I'm going through the documents and I'm looking at all the things that they had done to you behind the scenes, and you probably were unaware about a lot of this, but I mean, they had even...
No, but I was aware that was the thing.
The investigation?
First time it happened, I was coming back from my grandmother's funeral in Florida, and I tried to check in online, and I couldn't check in online. It said, see desk agent. So I go to the agent, and they're acting really weird, and they're on the phones. I'm there like almost an hour, almost missed my plane. I'm like, what is going on? And I was getting angry because I didn't know I was on a list at that point, but I knew something was off. So then they're like, you have to go over. They finally did it. And I saw someone following me. It was a TSA agent that was following me. I'm like, that's strange. Maybe I just walk slow and he's being polite and walking, you know, slow. But then everywhere I went, he was behind me. And then I got to the gate and there was this huge table set up by the gate and with bomb sniffing dogs. People are like, why are there bomb sniffing dogs here? I'm looking out the window. People are talking to me and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why they're there. And then they did a intrusive pat down at the jetway, in the front of everybody, in front of all 200 passengers. And when I yelled and argued and they're like, then you're not getting on the plane. Mm. If we can't do this, you're not getting on the plane. It was, everyone just thought I was a criminal and it was horrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't even imagine how embarrassing that is from a personal perspective on it. Because again, and obviously your husband being an air marshal, you know, it doesn't just end there. Right. There's likely that there's people that you wouldn't even know in regular civilian clothes flying with you.
Said, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, and he didn't want to tell me over the phone what happened. So he's like, I'm cussing. I'm like, I can't get on the plane. I don't know what to do. There's people following me. He's like, just calm down. It'll be okay. And then when I got home, he later explained it to me and I'm like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's unjustifiable, though. There's no reason for this to happen to you.
It really was.
Yeah.
And then I had to use the restroom, and I used a first-class restroom. And I saw these people looking at me, like men looking at me. I'm like, that's strange. You know, do I have something on my shoes or is my face or something? And it was the air marshals that were checking me out. And their reports were so detailed.
Yeah.
They were like, she was wearing UGG shoes, a Blue Vineyard Vine shirt, had a Coach purse. I mean, it was just... pink nail polish. I mean, things they did not need to know. And then they listened to my mother, and my mother and I had a conversation on the plane. They were listening to our conversation and talking about it. I mean, it was just so invasive. You know, I'm an open person, but I don't want someone being like, oh, this girl was wearing this. She limped. She does this. So personal and intrusive into my life. It was terrifying. I was scared to fly.
Yeah.
It didn't stop me, but it was knowing I had to go through it. I don't know if I told you, some air marshals that worked with my husband, and they were supposed to follow me. They sent them to follow me. And afterwards, they wrote a report saying that you know, she's wonderful. She did nothing wrong. We know her husband. She's a they're stand-up people. She doesn't, they don't deserve to be on the list. And they were actually punished because of that.
Wow.
They got in trouble, so they stopped. So now they were wasting all our taxpayer money by sending air marshals from other areas in the country to fly, to follow me, because they didn't want anyone to follow me from their office because my husband worked there.
What was the penalty for those agents who spoke out on your behalf?
They ended up retiring because they were going to get files, I believe, placed in their records.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then actually one time when we flew to New York with my entire family, my daughter, my mother, my husband, they actually sent, my husband's a federal air marshal. He's been one for 20 something years, and they sent an air marshal team to follow my husband and my family. But he was the air marshal. It was comical.
Yeah.
Even the other agents were like, are you kidding me? Mm. And they still had to write. They had to follow us. I would say what my daughter was wearing, what my mother was wearing, what I was wearing. It was like I lived in a Nazi state. It was horrible.
Yeah. And how long did this go on for?
3 years.
3 years.
And there was always a joke in my family that, oh, the FBI is going to be coming knocking on the door one day. It was just a running joke. And one morning, my husband's like, the FBI is here. And I'm like, I was half asleep. I'm like, stop. He's like, and then my daughter's like, Mommy, the FBI is here. I'm like, stop messing with me. That's not funny. Aww. I'm tired and I'm grumpy. And they're like, my husband's like, I'm serious. I'm like, no, you're not. And my daughter's like, Mom, they're really in the house. I had to get dressed and ran out. I was just horrified. We joked about it for a long time just to make light of it because it was such an untenable situation. We just laughed, you know, about it. And they were there, and I was just like, okay. And, you know, we gave them everything, and they were very nice. And then they called back my husband called them the next day to resolve, make sure I was off the list. They're like, yeah, you're off the list. And my husband's like, well, can I have a case number? There is no case number. What do you mean? Law enforcement, everything has a case number. Everyone in law enforcement knows that. And they're like, no. So apparently it was a bid to just sweep everything under like nothing happened. They'll clear me and that's the end of it. They're not liable because they had no case number. They did nothing wrong.
Isn't that something?
Right. Until when we met Senator Rand Paul, Christina, I don't know if it's his chief of staff or not, but she was wonderful. And I said how they took down my Twitter. And it's been almost 5 years now, and they would never give it back. I even apologized against my better judgment because I had so many memories in my Twitter account, and I had built up a following. So, and I had no way to contact friends that I had made through over the years. And I said, listen, I'm really sorry. Whatever I did wrong, I'm sorry. Can you please give me my account back? I must have done that 20 times over the past 5 years, and to this day, I don't have my Twitter account back. And I can't even ask Elon Musk to put it back because I can't post. I can't do anything. I can only look at Twitter. I can't.
Yeah.
So I can't even say, Elon Musk, please get me back on Twitter. And so then she said she made a call and Christina was trying to get someone to get me back on. Then I guess she's like, well, let's pull your FBI file. I mean, they didn't really know me, you know, so that makes sense. And thank God they did.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in here.
And she texted me, have you seen this? I'm like, what? I was floored. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We had just woken up Saturday morning and I read this email and I was like, oh my gosh, it was just, it answered a lot of questions, but it still leaves too many unanswered questions.
Yeah, when I look at the timeline of everything that's been in your file right now, you know, there was a search warrant that was issued based on the D.C. court. They obtained a search warrant to search your Facebook, it looks like.
Right.
And to go through your account from that end.
And my pictures are all gone. Anything from January. All my pictures I posted for those couple of days are gone.
Did you delete those?
No, I did not. Facebook must have done it because they banned me for like a week for posting pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's insane. And again, I mean,
I looked the other day. I'm like, I want to go back and look at the memories of those pictures, what I said and everything. And it's gone. There's no record of it. Facebook took it all down.
And it's absolutely insane that this happened in the first place. And this warrant, too, by the way, was looks like it was they issued it back in 2022. And then after they had their meeting with you in 2023, it looks like the writer who, I guess, put together this file on you recommends closing, I guess, everything down and saying that in light of the new evidence, just shut all of this down, this file that they had against you. But I mean, okay, so when I want to get to the core of this, the DOJ angle to this, because I saw the email that came from the individual named Kenneth, who's over at the DOJ. And according to his LinkedIn page, I looked this morning, it still says that he's an employee of the DOJ and that the DOJ and FBI don't comment on personnel matters. So they would never confirm that with me.
Of course.
But, according to his Facebook or his LinkedIn, he still works there. But what is it like when you see that this this individual was flagging your case to move forward, even though they didn't have geofencing,
right.
They didn't speak to you, but he was going to potentially have you arrested for something,
right.
You weren't even anywhere near.
Right. I didn't do it. There was also a quote in there from the attorney general, I'm not sure if it's the same person, saying that, you know, if you find out she hurt a Capitol Police officer or did anything, let me know immediately.
Yeah.
Like, as if I was this raging lunatic that was out there attacking people. I mean, that was horrifying to read about myself. Let me know. Please let me know if she did something wrong. Like, they were out to get me. Seriously, like, I wasn't being paranoid. They were out to destroy my life.
Yeah.
And thank God they were not able to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your evidence against them was very strong. And we joke about D.C. juries and how they would never be favorable towards conservatives.
Right.
But I don't even think a D.C. jury could convict you just based on how strong the evidence. I mean, you don't even look like the woman who's in the photos. The jacket color is completely different.
Right.
The length, everything is different.
I don't even have a red MAGA hat. I have a green Trump hat that says I'm a Trump girl.
Yeah.
So it's not even like I ever wore a red MAGA hat anywhere in my Facebook pictures or anything because I didn't have one. So for that woman to say that, my former friend, to say that about me and to think that was me. We went on vacation together for 2 weeks. She knows what I look like. She knows I'm not tall and thin like that woman. And I don't wear a jacket like that. And I don't have a MAGA hat. She
yeah.
knows that about me.
I want to ask you about this. I know it's personal, but the FBI surveilled your home 4 times. And I texted you last night joking because they said you had a very well-maintained lawn.
Right, my husband was like, at least I have a well-maintained lawn.
So that was a professional opinion. They like your front lawn.
Right.
It's funny, but it's not very funny because it's still an invasion of privacy because they're writing in this that they're looking through the windows that they can't see because you have the blinds closed. So they do get very specific as they're outside of your home surveilling it.
Right, and they tag, like they took down the names and makes of my neighbor's cars who live next door.
That's invasive.
Right. And then one time I flew to Florida to see one of my good friends there. And they followed, and the report said that they were following me out to her car and they took down her license plate. Now, she's a Democrat. She has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I haven't seen her in a couple of years.
Mm.
And to have that type of, be that intrusive, it's
yeah.
just wrong. And that day, it's a funny story. I was the last to get on the plane. So they sent me at the last row, which is fine, next to some young man. And I'm very chatty,
mm-hmm.
and so was this young man. And we started talking, and we were just laughing, talking about, you know, just, and I told him my story, and he was like, that's horrible, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, he's like, you don't look like a terrorist. I'm like, I know I don't look like a terrorist. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, and joking around, we took a picture, just like a silly picture. And the next day, and I had showed my husband. The next morning, he's like, you're a moron. You sat next to the air marshal that was following you and told him your whole story. I had all the people to get chatty with. He was just a very nice young man.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, think about his story. We were talking about kids and stuff, and so it was just weird.
I mean, I'm sure he didn't take you as a threat either. That's why we were chatty.
But he had to write exactly what I was wearing. He's like, yeah, I sat next to her. We had a long talk, you know. It was just, I felt so vulnerable and just so abused. I mean, that's just so personal to have someone do that to you.
Yeah, well, I think absolutely it is. And, you know, we've got about a minute left. So I wanted to get to this, though. When I was going through your documents, there's the image of the woman that they're accusing you of being, and she's lifting up her left hand,
right.
her arm completely, and she's waving to someone. I spoke with you yesterday about this, haven't been able to do that since you were 26 after
yeah.
an injury.
Yes, I had a stroke at 26 years old, and I never regained the use of my left arm. So my friend knew that because she's been on vacation with me. We were close for a long time.
Yeah.
So why they would think someone, all they had to do was look at me or research something about me and find out that I was disabled. So there was obviously no way I was climbing the Capitol steps, number one,
mm-hmm.
or number two, I could use my left arm.
Yeah.
And they also left out that my husband was, you know, an air marshal himself.
Yeah. I'm sure that was just a coincidence though. That
right. Yeah. Right. Just weird coincidence that they forgot that.
Well, I mean, as we go through all of this, we look through all the information, I'm glad you have this now. I'm glad you've been able to obtain all this information. This is really important for you to have. And I do hope that you guys are able to get counsel here because what they did to you is unacceptable and there needs to be accountability. The people who are part of all of this, they also need to be arrested.
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to be arrested, at least fired.
I don't blame the air marshals that had to follow me. They were just following orders.
Yeah.
It was the people at the top.
Yes, those are the ones.
Those are the people at
yes.
the top who allowed this and told my husband, you know, walk away.
Yeah. Well, Christine, we're very honored to have you on the show today, and thank you for sharing your story with the American people. I know everyone was so upset about this terror watch list that so many Americans landed on, so thank you for being here and sharing your story. Folks, that does it here for us today. The Alex Jones Show starts next, so don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.